much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
I'm in Tampa Bay, Memorial Day weekend, 86. Floyd Mayweather walks into the McDonald's. The man ordered 8,000 chicken nuggets. Now that's a champion.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I'm hip. I surf the web. I text. LOL. Laugh out loud. OMG. Oh my God. WTF. Why the face?
No need to curse.
What is your secret in staying young?
My secret in staying young? Well, I got three words. Boom-tang.
He's an incredibly perspicacious guy, man.
Because
global warming,
right?
Could you elaborate?
It's getting hot.
And now.
Yeah.
Our feature presentation.
Global warming, could you elaborate?
Getting hot. Mm-hmm. That's strong right there. Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It is Monday. It is the 7th of December. What's happening?
What's up, you guys?
You know.
You know. You?
I always think I'm going to ask that question and you guys are going to have an answer.
Nah.
To what's up?
Yeah.
To something that's going on.
Pretty general, but
or something to do with the weekend or something that's on your mind or something you think, but nothing.
Mm-mm. How'd Seattle do yesterday? We were talking football when I walked in.
We won by around 40, maybe.
Really?
35. I don't remember what the final score was, but it was a pretty dominating performance. But Minnesota had a lot of people out. I mean, they were really just so banged up. They had, you know, half their team down. So it was still good, though.
Yeah.
Still good. Speaking of football, Chip, you should be counseling Allie on what it's like to lose two games in a row. That's not an experience she has to endure very often. And, of course, you've got a lot of experience with it as a Dolphins fan.
Yeah, two is nothing. Yeah. I wish for losing two games in a row.
That would be considered a win streak for the Dolphins, only losing two in a row.
What's it been, Allie, about 3 years since the Patriots lost back-to-back games?
I believe 2012, yeah. It's been a while.
So it's very rare. And it's so funny. I was thinking about this last night when it was starting to look like an upset. I fully expected the Patriots to come back well into the third quarter. I still thought they were going to win. But then when it looked like Philadelphia was going to win, I thought, there's rarely been such a big upset that has so little effect on either team. It doesn't hurt the Patriots at all.
Yeah.
It doesn't help the Eagles at all. It's just, I mean, it's an anomaly. It's interesting that it happened, but it means nothing in the big picture.
Here's all I know. They did a drop kick.
Yeah.
That was exciting. How long has it been since you've seen a drop kick?
Pop Warner.
Right?
Yeah.
It was ridiculous. I was like, what are they doing? That's so great. I don't even care. Sorry. I don't even care that they lost, but the drop kick makes me love it. It was so exciting.
What was the reason, Allie?
I didn't watch a second of that game.
It was like an onside kick, but a drop kick.
Chip watched it. Chip's the one that alerted me, and I was like, really?
That was so weird.
Well, I didn't see a lot of the game either, but my favorite play was Brady going out as a receiver.
Yes, awesome.
They lined up to play, and Brady was shouting to the sideline looking like he was confused. And then they flipped the ball to the receiver. The receiver flipped it to Amendola. Amendola threw it to Brady, and Brady ran 36 yards.
Yeah,
well, I think at that point, nobody knew where Brady was throwing, so they're like, let's try someone else. That's what I got from all the texts during the game. I'm like, I'm not watching, but it sounds awful.
They do. Belichick does ridiculous stuff.
Yeah.
I like that about him.
He's the king of the trick play.
He really is. And just at any time, it doesn't matter how important it is or whatever, he'll just try something.
And Pete Carroll is the same way with Seattle. Yeah. They've had quite a few times. And yesterday they did one where Russell Wilson fake handed it off to a receiver who then, you know, scattered into the wind. And then 5 seconds later, he threw it to that same receiver that he had fake handed it off to because, you know, the defense is thinking, all right, I saw that you didn't really hand it to that guy. So now I have to figure out which of these guys you're actually going to throw it to. And he threw it to the same guy that he had fake handed it off to. And I thought,
why does it go so high?
I don't know, but that's cool, right? That's fun. Yeah, there are a million ways to play that game. Just don't do it the way the Dolphins do. That's the only advice
I
give you.
Don't do like the Dolphins.
Hey, we won!
All right.
Yeah, but...
They did.
Yeah, but... I mean, look,
Yeah, but I mean, come on. Allie lost right. Allie's Pats lost two in a row, but she knows that they're not going to keep going that way.
That's, exactly. Oh.
They're still going to win the Super Bowl, right?
Mm. The Dolphins thing.
All right. Got a very busy show today. A lot of stuff to get to. Got some great guests, some things we're very excited about. But I can't decide which of these two stories to get us started with today, so I'm going to let you guys decide.
Okay.
Do you want 12-year-old Australian boy helps deliver 12 stingray babies?
Okay.
Or do you want decrepit ghost boats carrying dead people keep washing up in Japan?
Ghost boats. Ghost boats.
Ghost boats.
Come on.
Yeah, that's a slam dunk.
All right.
Ghost boats
it is then. Here we go. This is a crazy story from Reuters. The Japanese Coast Guard and police report 12 incidents of wrecked wooden boats, including some that were in pieces, on the country's shores and waters since October, containing 22 dead bodies plus 5 skulls.
12 different boats?
12 different boats, not in history, since October.
What?
Japanese authorities declined to comment on the origins of the boats or the possible identities of the dead, but a handwritten sign identified one boat as belonging to Unit 325 of the North Korean Army, according to footage from Japan's NHK television. Tattered cloth was found aboard the vessel that appeared to come from the North Korean flag, the video showed. And then the analysis of that piece says, North Korean leader Kim Jong-un is known to have put a high priority on fishing, the wire service says, which may involve sending out ill-equipped vessels that eventually drift to Japan after becoming lost, their crews dead of starvation and exposure.
Oh,
that seems bad.
How? I mean, those are just the ones that are washing up, by the way, in Japan. We wouldn't hear about the ones that washed up in North Korea, and we wouldn't hear about the ones that don't wash up anywhere. Is he just sending out... And by the way, the tons of these little wooden boats, feels like they could do better than that.
You would think.
Feels like they figured out a way to make safer seafaring, doesn't it? But isn't that crazy? I mean, 12 different boats just in the last 3 months with corpses on them. That is just, look, I know that there's a lot of stuff that goes on in North Korea that we don't know anything about. I mean, that is a honked up country.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when you've got ghost boats carrying dead people washing up on the shores. Something weird is going on here, you guys.
I vote for the stingray kid. Let's hear that
it's
one.
Too late.
It is?
Yeah, he did the whole ghost party.
I didn't think it was going to be a bummer. I thought it was going to be like, ooh, cool haunted boats. Ooh.
What did you think? Ghost boats full
I don't
of dead
know.
People? Wait, what was the positive
Not sure.
spin here you were thinking
Not
that was going to happen?
Sure.
Okay. Well, anyway, I'm
I stand by ghost boats and I want to know more.
Okay, well, I'll keep my eyes peeled. Right. If there's more, I'll let you guys know.
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
I will accept whatever you offer me in this moment, okay? All and right. I'm going to ask you, okay. and then I'm going to be done with it. Are you high?
That remains to be seen. Top 10 moments with.
Oh.
On tomorrow's Kevin DeBeecho.
On tomorrow's Kevin DeBeecho.
Looking forward to that.
Interesting. I'm looking at my schedule. I don't know what's real and what's not real now, Bean.
We have tickets for both nights of the Almost Acoustic Christmas on the floor.
Yeah, we do.
We got those. Fluffy's still today, correct?
Yes. Gabriel Iglesias, one of our favorites, stopping by in the 7 o'clock hour this morning. Love the Fluff Man.
Our new Miss Double D, Mallory, on the program today.
Isn't she delightful?
She's delightful, Bean. Andrew Siciliano in the studio talking NFL. Mm-hmm. And a brand new Internet Roundup coming up as well. And, our producer, the King of Mexico, is BS.
Okay.
So all right. Talk about that in about a half an hour. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 5:55.
Time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, you're not Ralph Garman.
I am not.
What's up with that?
What is up with that?
You look so much better than Ralph Garman.
Some days. Some days. Do you think maybe the Eagles win just it sent him over the edge?
Well, somebody did tweet at him last night that he probably wasn't going to be in today because he was partying too
hard.
Too much
party.
Victory last night.
Yeah.
Interesting.
And he tried to make it sound like that wasn't the case, but I sure don't see him. Hey, Allie, did you have fun on Friday?
I did. Did you?
He doesn't like people. So
a lot of people for me. I mean, look, here's what I'll say about the Miss Double December pageant. Thank you to the Slide Bar for hosting us.
They were great.
To the many, 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 many listeners who came out. Thank you to the Marines who were there collecting lots of toys for the kiddies. I will say, when you meet your listeners
face-to-face, shake hands, take pictures, hear their stories. It's kind of cool.
Wait, mark this.
Wow.
Shit, mark this down.
I got to say, not that I want to do it often, but...
And the Grinch's heart grew one size larger.
Dear diary, today at 5:56, Bean said something nice.
What? People were so nice, though.
Here's what else. They always are, though, Bean.
They were so nice.
But here's my point. They always
the
are.
People actually our audience. They listen to the radio show, though.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And they're really nice. Yes, that's true.
Nice.
All the
super
time.
Cool of them. Yes.
Yeah, not all the time, but I'd say 99% of the time.
Uh-huh.
Bean actually stayed afterward and had lunch.
I saw pictures of him flanked by two beautiful ladies. So I thought, well, his days going all right.
No.
I did.
No.
I mean, he was fine, but he wanted to get out because there were people.
Mm-hmm.
Too many people. Too
That's
crowded.
The thing yeah. is people is not good for him.
Yeah.
But thank you to everybody who came out and at the live broadcast. It was quote-unquote fun. All right, time for that showbiz beat now. What's going on?
Well, let's start off with the box office. The Hunger Games, Mockingjay Part 2. They pulled in another $18.6 million, making them number one in the box office. A debut at number two, that would be Krampus, $16 million, followed by Creed, $15.5 million. The Good Dinosaur, Spectre, The Night Before, The Peanuts Movie, Spotlight, Brooklyn, and Secret in Their Eyes. Rounding out the top 10. I haven't heard of maybe three of those. Have you?
Well, yes, I don't... we've talked about every one of those movies at one point or another.
I don't listen.
Hey,
well.
by the way, let me just put in another plug for The Night Before. It's a really good stoner Christmas movie. So if you haven't seen it yet, it's still in theaters. You should. You would
okay.
like it. That's all. Back to you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Something that we chatted about for a second on Friday, The Wiz.
The Wiz.
Who watched? Who didn't? I watched. Bean, did you catch up this weekend? Did you check it out?
I saw a little bit of it. I didn't see the whole thing.
Well, they pulled in 11.5 million viewers. And
that's huge.
That's huge, and that's up against the Packers-Lions game.
Wow.
And not only that, they set a Nielsen record for Twitter. They had the most social live special programming in more than 4 years of tracking the numbers of social, generating more reactions than NBC's two prior musicals combined.
Well, I mean, that's what those things seem to be invented for, is
right.
half the experience is sitting on your couch and tweeting about it and seeing what people are saying about it.
Yeah, as for the actual ratings, though, they still fell short of Sound of Music, which had 18.32 million viewers. But they did beat out Peter Pan.
They beat out Peter Pan, yeah,
yes.
Which was pretty bad.
Absolutely.
Christopher Walken killed that Peter Pan, right?
He wasn't great, which made me watch it more.
Okay.
It was fantastic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just for ratings-wise, what would you say, besides the Super Bowl, which is just a ratings juggernaut, what would you say has been the highest-rated TV show or event so far this year?
Interesting.
Well, the Academy Awards come to mind. They're a perennial favorite.
The Walking Dead.
Mm-hmm. This year's Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade was the most watched telecast this season, averaging 22.3 million viewers.
Nope.
22 million people watch that?
22 million people watch that. Yeah.
I mean, I guess on Thanksgiving, almost everyone is at home, so you do have a very large available audience for
sure.
TV. But there are still other channels that aren't showing a parade, right?
I think there are like two, maybe?
Plus.
Well, you've got that.
There's that.
22 million people watching the Macy's parade?
Can you believe that?
No, that's odd.
I know.
On a Thursday morning?
Yeah. Well, maybe you figure, A, like you said, a captive audience, and B, kids that are never up at that time wake up so excited to watch that.
Do they?
I think so.
Kids look forward to that?
Yeah.
Kids are into balloons?
I don't know. It's hard for me to tell because that just is the worst idea to me ever.
You didn't watch it with your kids?
No.
Really?
I didn't watch it at all growing up with my parents or anything. I always hated it. Parades suck. They suck. Except for the Hollywood Christmas Parade, which is awesome.
Why do you like that one?
Because
it's kind of janky?
Oh, kind of. It's King janky. It's the best.
It's pretty darn bad, which
Who
I believe
it's
coming up, by the way.
I think it already happened. They taped it and they haven't aired it yet,
I think.
But
janky!
Who airs that now, Allie? It was Channel 5 for a long time,
yeah,
wasn't
I think
it?
It's still Channel 5.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think they keep the janky going.
It's funny, too, because they'll mention, here's so-and-so from such-and-such a show, and I've never heard of the person, the show, sometimes even the network. I have no idea what's going on.
The best part about that, I have always thought, is that the people who are trying to interview the folks that who are in the cars or on the floats or whatever, they can never hear each other.
Ever.
Yeah. Ever.
And then there's a delay, then they're both talking. It's so good.
Oh, it's sweet. That's a sweet, sweet show right there.
I'm going to look into it for the next entertainment. But find
because
out.
Of Fail. Yeah, let us know when that's going to be on.
Because wasn't Eric Estrada the parade, what's it called? The head,
Grand Marshal?
That guy.
I don't know, but that would be perfect.
I feel like he was last year.
That would be perfect, yeah. That's their kind of thing.
All right, all of these stars were born on today, December the 7th. Singer Tom Waits is 66. Actor C. Thomas Howell, 49. Singer Sarah Bareilles is 36. Oh.
That was a tepid bell.
That was.
Just barely.
She's a tepid
maybe
girl.
You just grazed it.
I
Did
feel
you
like,
even mean to ring it?
I think that she deserves a lot more than that.
Do you? Okay.
Yeah.
Noted.
Actress Jennifer Carpenter is 36. And Dodgers outfielder Yasiel Puig. He's 25 years old. I'm Allie McKay in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
Our friend Fluffy will be here next hour. Comedian Gabriel Iglesias, also Andrew Siciliano with the NFL Network, and Harvey Levin from TMZ.com in minutes. Catch us up over the weekend. Hey, why is producer Dave, the King of Mexico, in here?
Because I'm the best.
Because he's the best. Because Dave is the best.
Really? Because that's not what you were saying earlier. I thought I heard a jingle that suggested maybe Dave was something else.
The King of Mexico is bullshit.
Or that. Or that.
You were giddy with excitement on Friday about how Dave was BS, but I still don't know why. So I'm very excited to find out what
Kevin
happened with
confuses
Dave.
BS with innovative.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's it.
Because I got things going on in my mind that are awesome.
So, Bean, you tell me your impression of Dave the King of Mexico, because I feel like he wears all of his little shirts with cats on them and stuff, and he's following Marnie the dog and
I love Marnie.
Little Bub the cat great. Or whatever.
Did you guys see him together
and
this
then,
past weekend?
And then Dave is like, oh, look at this picture. They met. And then he said, two internet legends met.
Uh-huh. Dave. So true.
Okay, how does that strike you, Bean? Look, you all right with that so far?
I mean, it's not to my taste. It's not my life. Those aren't my interests. But
right?
I don't think it hurts anybody if Dave's into it.
It hurts me.
Thank you, Bean.
It hurts my heart. Because
the King of Mexico is bullshit.
So when Dave comes in and wears his panda t-shirts, as he does about 3 days a week,
right.
That's offensive to you?
I feel like he's doing it to poke me with a stick. I feel like he's doing it because he knows that maybe he would wear it anyway, but it's an extra added bonus that I wouldn't like it.
Huh.
Really? See, I would never think that Dave would think about you when he's getting dressed in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine he's at all concerned. Well, I mean, if he were here, I guess we could ask him.
What do you think? Man, that went south quick. All right, Dave, so answer that question.
No, I don't think of you, Kevin.
At all to annoy me.
Not at all.
Did you, when you were pointing out the picture of Marnie and Bubby meeting, did you know? What?
Little Bub.
Did you?
Not Bubby.
Whatever. Did you point it out to me specifically to annoy me? Because
That time I did.
All right.
But listen, I like that little cat shirt that I have. I get a lot of compliments.
Sure.
You know, but
right.
Now that the fact that it annoys you, I don't
it
do
makes
it on purpose.
It better, right?
But it makes me like that shirt more.
Okay.
I yeah, like
that.
Like so my burrito shirt.
Yeah.
Like that one's awesome.
Right.
It's a cat. It's at a burrito beast.
So awesome. Where were we? Was it the King's practice facility that... Friends and Helpers event that you were telling me about your plans?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we were.
Okay.
Yes.
So the King of Mexico is standing there, and he's telling me that, A, he's finally going to get a puppy.
Aww.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I want a puppy.
I've been trying to talk him out of that for years because I don't think Dave is home enough to be able to take care of a puppy.
I'm fine. Maybe a puppy will get me going home.
But here's the beautiful thing, Bean, is that his girlfriend is never home either. So at least they've got that going for
right.
Us. Okay, so they're going to get a puppy. They've already got a name for the puppy. What kind of puppy was it going to be?
It's going to be a Maltipoo.
Maltipoo. Okay.
Yeah. Cute, right?
No.
Oh, you're dumb.
No, they're very cute, but you
See?
Know what? They're breeding all of these dogs. Just get a dog from a shelter.
No,
just...
then they end up looking like Cat's dog, and I don't want that.
Oh, you're the worst.
Yeah.
You are the worst.
All right, and they've already come up with a name for the puppy that they don't have yet. which is
I'm not going to say it because then
I'm going to say it.
People,
if you don't,
people will use it. And
oh,
I don't want.
No, you don't want him to steal that.
Don't steal my dog name.
Come on.
All right. Look, it's after one of our favorite people in this world, Ronda Rousey. So we're going to name her Ronda Ruffy.
The King of Mexico is bullshit.
Now here's the
That's a good name.
Now here's
look at Allie. She's laughing.
I'm laughing because you're an idiot.
No, it's good. It's a good name.
Here's the part of the story where it just goes way over the top for me. Dave is going to have a puppy shower.
Yeah.
Where he invites all of his friends to a park.
Dog park.
And they bring him gifts.
No.
Whoa. Hold up.
No.
The King of Mexico is bullshit.
First of all, is that a thing?
No, it's not.
It's not a thing.
You know why? Because I just thought of it. And second, it's going to be awesome because how often do all your friends get together that have dogs from everywhere, come to a park where, you know, we're going to have beer and liquor and stuff, hang out with their dogs, with the people they love the most, and party and bring gifts.
And bring gifts. If he invites people, it's not enough to bring your animal to the park. He wants a gift.
Are you going to have like a registry?
No.
Oh, because that's too far?
Yeah, that's way too far.
Oh, sorry, Dave. Sorry.
Look, I just want to bring my friends together and have fun with their dogs, with their pets.
And they're going to bring gifts.
And they're going to bring gifts, yeah, for me.
All right, Bean, you're ruling on that.
Oh, wow.
Right?
Come on. Well, first of all, my head is spinning because this is new information that I'm just hearing for the first time. I haven't had a chance to think about it. Look, Dave, no one loves dogs more than I do. I had six at one point a few years ago.
Okay, Bean, did you ever have a puppy shower?
Finishing my thought.
Okay.
No one loves dogs more than I do. And I'm excited to meet your dog. I'm excited to play with your dog.
When is that going to happen? What are you talking about?
Oh, my dog will travel.
You're never here.
My dog will travel, and we'll go up to Beans.
And Dave will bring his dog into work sometimes, too, I'm sure, like Kat
does. I will,
yes. But I don't think that it's anybody else is on the hook for your dog. For you getting a dog, I don't think anyone else should be on the hook for either for time or money.
Okay.
I think it's a personal thing.
What do you think about housewarming parties? Baby showers?
I think housewarming parties
wedding parties are
okay for people of a certain age that need the help, that don't have things.
Don't want any of that. Puppy shower.
No, but the reason for all of that is that somebody has a new home and they could use some help from their friends to put stuff in it, right?
Yeah, you know how much.
And a baby shower is the exact same
thing.
You know
how much puppies cost? They're expensive, man.
Not if you're not from a shelter.
That's because you're not going to a shelter.
Yeah, you still need to buy crap for the puppy.
You sure do, but you're doing a good thing for the world when you adopt from a shelter. Or a rescue.
He's having a shower.
I don't think puppy showers are a thing, Dave.
They're not a thing. I'm going to start one. Look, now that we went on air with it, you're going to see them popping up. They're going to be on Alias. They're going to be a Thriller. You're going to hear about them. Thank you.
The King of Mexico is bullshit.
Now, here's the part that I like the
most. Copyright 2015, Dave.
Here's the part that I like the most is that he told me he was going to get a puppy. He told me he was going to name it Ronda Ruffy, but he was most excited about the shower.
Right. Because he figured out a way to get free stuff from his friends.
And my friends like me, so they'll bring me stuff. And
what stuff?
None of you are going to
be invited.
What
stuff do you want?
You know, like a dog bed or a cool, like a...
You think one of your friends is going to bring you a dog bed?
Or just gift certificates to, like, Petco so we could get, like, the best food and or maybe just for dogs and stuff like that, you know.
But you shouldn't be getting a puppy if you can't afford to care for a puppy.
Look, I can afford it. I just don't want to pay for it.
Oh.
Of Mexico is bullshit.
I just want my puppy to have a better life, man, than I
could
give it.
I hope that I can afford it, but I just don't want to pay for it is what you put on the invitation to
Isn't
your puppy party.
Isn't that insane?
Come on. You're with me, Bean. Come on.
Now, Allie mentioned something, a registry. You're not going to put a registry up so that people know? They're expected to guess what you want?
What would
you
buy a dog? Beds.
Right.
What are you going to do,
Return
Dave?
Three of them, or return the three worst ones, and then, you know... Get all the money and spend it on the dog. Take it to puppy camp. Take it to, you know.
Puppy Lake. Take it to Puppy Lake is where you should be taking it.
Get that backpack that you carry, the puppy, where it has the bubble. Oh, those are awesome. Those are awesome. Right,
I feel like I'm going to have to beat you up at some point in the next month or two.
I support it.
You support what?
You beating
up. The beating up?
The King of Mexico is bullshit.
So I'll see you all there?
Nope.
Nope.
Yeah.
Bean?
Nope. Let's go to the TMZ.com newsroom and talk to our friend Harvey Levin. Hey, Harvey.
Good morning, guys.
Thanks so much for hopping on. We know you're getting ready to go into your meeting. We had I want to thank you also for making Dax available to us on Friday. We talked to him with the very latest on the Scott Weiland story as it was sort of developing. It was just so awful and so sad. And I guess I want to start there and find out if we know anything more. Like, when are we going to hear this coroner's report about what brought him down at 48?
Well, I mean, they generally take a couple of weeks. But, you know, we talked to people. I had actually talked to some people the day after he died, and for the 4 days preceding, there were some huge musicians, and I spoke with one of them, who were really concerned about him, and they had said he had really fallen off the wagon in a significant way. And then the question is, what was he doing? And, you know, we had heard stories that they were worried that this was crack cocaine. They found cocaine in his bedroom and arrested one of his bandmates who was in possession of cocaine, but in terms of what was in his body, we just don't know and won't know probably for a couple of weeks.
You posted a story over the weekend about a backstage writer for Scott Weiland and his tour that he's on right now, and it was so surprising to see that he was requesting sober stagehands for his shows, yet also wasn't he asking for a bunch of alcohol?
Yeah, I mean, it's utterly inconsistent, and it feels like to me that the management team needed to do this in order to get insurance or something like that. Or maybe Scott was trying, on the one hand, look, I'll tell you what it is. They had requested sober stagehands during the tour, which is great. And, you know, Scott's wife told us that he had been sober, at least as far as she knew. But then on the other hand, in that same writer, it said that he would always have a bottle of Pinot and a bottle of organic vodka in his room. So, you know, look, he had terrible addiction problems. And what most addiction specialists say is that you can't start choosing your poison, that if you're an addict, you just have to stay away from all these substances, and alcohol included. And, you know, for whatever reason, he thought that he could do this kind of socially, I guess. But what we had heard was that he was drinking pretty heavily, and there might have been something involving cocaine as well.
And it wasn't just the drug test. It wasn't just his band, the Wildabouts. It was also him.
In the writer. Oh no! Well, the writer. No. It's funny because the writer for the rest of the band, they have all sorts of things. I mean, they get whiskey, vodka. There was a whole list of things that they got: whiskey, vodka, beer. Other stuff, but for him, it's just Pinot and organic vodka.
It must be, look, it's tough for any addict to try to stay sober, but you would think subjecting yourself to as little temptation as possible would be the way to go. And it's got to be tough in that line of work where you are constantly in situations where other people are drinking, where parties are always happening. I mean, that's a tough line of work for somebody who's trying to stay sober, isn't it?
Well, and also, a tour bus is especially difficult because of the proximity. That it's one thing if you're in a hotel room and you're kind of by yourself, but when you're on a tour bus, you know, everybody's in everybody's business.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, we'll definitely keep our eye on that. Let's talk Morgan Freeman. This was a terrifying headline before I realized he was okay. But you don't. I mean, anytime you walk away from a plane crash, I guess you're pretty lucky, right, Harvey?
Yeah, and this could have been really bad. What happened was Saturday night. We actually contacted the airport, and they told us that this was, you know, he was lucky that the plane took off, and apparently it blew a tire on takeoff. But the problem wasn't the tire as much as apparently the something on the tire must have hit something on the plane. But we're told that it messed up the hydraulics in the plane. So the pilot took off and landed 36 miles away. So this was an up and down, and the pilot needed to get down quickly. So he landed. Now, it's unclear to us still whether the runway was just too short for the jet or whether the hydraulics affected the brakes, but whichever it was, the plane took the entire runway and then went off the runway into a dirt field.
Wow.
And, yeah, no, I mean, that's, you know, filled with fuel.
Isn't that almost exactly what happened in the plane crash that Travis Barker was in as they were taken off and the tire blew out?
His was the same thing on takeoff where the tire blew. That plane really never got off the ground. And and this was, you know, the plane at least was able to take off and then land, but it was a very dangerous situation. And Morgan, we put the story up, I think it was like 6-7 o'clock at night on Saturday, and a couple hours later we got a statement from Morgan Freeman, and it was, I mean, it's amazing that he had a sense of humor after this, but he said,
Don't read it unless you're going to read it in his voice, Harvey.
Oh, God, I can't do it. I cannot do it.
It's Morgan Freeman.
I can't do it.
Harvey, you got to try. You got to try.
I know. I will not do it justice, and I will not do that to him.
All right.
I can't do it. Well, but it was funny because he said, look, he said, I'm okay. He said, the plane didn't do quite as well as me.
You mean the plane didn't do quite as good as me?
Okay, is that what you mean? Exactly why I didn't do it.
Harvey made the right decision. Bean made the wrong decision.
Suck it, Morgan Freeman.
All right, Harvey. Thank you for the update, sir. We'll be looking for you all over Channel 11 today with the original TMZ show, TMZ Live at 4, of course, at TMZ Sports Now on a new home on Fox Sports 1, Fridays at midnight. Have a great week, sir. We appreciate the time.
Okay, guys, we'll see you.
Look, I know we've got a lot of stuff to get to. We've got a busy show, but please let me revisit Dave's puppy shower for just a second.
Please do.
If you weren't listening a few minutes ago, Dave announced that producer Dave at King of Mexico announced that he and his girlfriend are going to get a puppy, and their intention is to have a puppy shower, which if you're combing your brain right now going, wait a minute, puppy shower? You mean like a baby shower? People bring gifts? That's not a thing for dogs, right? Right. It's not a thing for dogs. Dave came up with it. Dave's doing it, all right? So we put it up on the Kevin and Bean Facebook page, and we're looking for your comments. And there's quite a few on here. Keep beer mug, fire Dave, says Jason.
I like it.
Is it too late to take the king to Puppy Lake, asks Chrissy. Angel writes, how is fire Dave not a thing? Jason writes, Dave is everything that's wrong with Southern California in terms of his hipster douchebags. It is kind of a hipster douchebag thing, right?
For sure.
Yeah. I also put a poll up on my Twitter account, too. Our producer, Dave, is planning a puppy shower for his new dog. He wants his friends to bring gifts, and you have two options. You can either click A, aw, great idea, or B, no, he's a douchebag. Right now, douchebag is winning 89% to 11%.
Yeah. That's about right. Yeah.
So, Dave, I don't know, perhaps rethink.
You think that's going to change his mind at all? Now he's really going to do it.
But
That's how he works.
I mean, why would you want to put your friends through something that is bad?
I can't answer that. Because I wouldn't, so I can't answer that.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll keep you posted. But first, though, we got the Kevin and Bean Afro line on the air. These are your calls on any topic 24 hours a day. You know we do that What's Good feature where you call live from time to time. But if we don't happen to be on and you get a great idea about something you want to talk to us about, you can call and leave a message on the Afro line.
Bean is obsessed with a song about a shipwreck 50 years ago in the Great Lakes. When was the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald day that you were trying to celebrate? Last week, the week before?
It was November 10th.
Okay.
The wreck happened in 1975.
Right, sure. So this guy called with a song about you, Bean.
Well, he lives near a gum wall. He drinks chocolate milk and brrr, is a triumphant herald. When he opens his trap, all his friends wish he died on the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
That's nice, right?
Why do all of the calls about the Edmund Fitzgerald involve me going down on the ship?
Well,
I'm going to let you put that together. Guy called back with a song about me.
Although Kevin probably shouldn't speak very loud, because his problem is very appalling. Because he's in such a hurry to get off the phone with every celebrity calling.
Kevin is in a hurry when it comes to hanging up the phone on celebrities. That is true, actually.
Allie?
And Allie is gorgeous and witty and cute. I think she's a fine piece of tail. But she talks about Star Wars all goddamn day. And this is why you fail.
This guy's good.
He's pretty good, right? Ralph Garman?
Now, Ralph is a man who does comedy skits. Impressions, believe me, he's got 'em. And he wears a leather jacket all goddamn day long and has balls as big as Gotham.
He knows the show, man.
Beer Mug?
Now, Beer Mug's a fine man. He's good at his job, a genuine king in his castle. But from talking to him, it becomes quite clear that he's an insufferable asshole.
I think he he's right on every count.
Omar?
Now, Omar, my friend, please don't think I forgot. You DJ all over the city. But the themes you make on the radio suck. I've never heard anything so
That guy does good work. We want him to call every day. 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 653.
So if you're thinking right now, man, I love that Renegade song, that Ex-Ambassadors. I sure would like to see them this weekend as part of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015. You are in luck. We are giving away tickets to both nights on the floor, Saturday and Sunday night at the Forum for both nights. You can call right now at 1-800-520-1067. Rank the level of difficulty on this particular game we're going to be playing, Kevin.
I think, it's about lyrics. So if you're good with lyrics, you'll do fine. And if you're not like me, then you would fail like me.
All right. If you know and love the bands and the artists performing this weekend at the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015, and you want to try to win your way in on the floor for both nights, call now 1-800-520-1067. That'll be coming up just after 7 o'clock. Also, Fluffy next hour, comedian Gabriel Iglesias. Right now, Allie's in for Ralph with the show Bisbee.
You guys, Grammy nominations are out.
All right.
Big day.
I want to hear your thoughts.
Okay.
Who should win? Who will win?
All right.
By the way, Kendrick Lamar leads with 11 nominations, followed by Taylor Swift and The Weeknd. They both have 7.
Kendrick Lamar is an interesting case for me. I know, Kevin, that's your favorite album of the year, and I love it as well. Not a big radio record, though, at all.
Yeah, agreed. Mm-hmm.
It's one that everybody owns and critics loved, but it didn't exactly generate hits, which is always interesting when you see those up. I always wonder, you know, sometimes those do pretty well, sometimes not so much. So I don't know how Kendrick's going to do. I would be very satisfied if he won for Album of the Year, though.
Well, up for Album of the Year, we've got Alabama Shakes, Sound and Color.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Kendrick Lamar, To Pimp a Butterfly. Chris Stapleton, Traveler, which is one of my favorite albums, but again, going along with Bean up there, not even a lot of country play, so it's odd that it's
but
on there.
But a great record.
Oh, it's
not
amazing.
A person, and it's not an album, as far as I know.
It is a person.
Okay,
yeah,
it is.
Chris Stapleton is indeed a person,
okay,
and
bad.
Traveler is the name of his album.
Okay.
Taylor Swift, 1989, and The Weeknd, Beauty Behind the Madness, all up for Album of the Year.
You think The Weeknd would win?
No, Taylor's.
Because I can support
that.
I don't think The Weeknd will win.
Yeah.
I think The Weeknd. I have failed so often trying to predict what Grammy voters are going to do.
Yeah.
The Weeknd to me is a singles act. You know what I mean? Like, it's not an album.
Okay.
But who knows? He's sure popular.
Sure is. Song of the Year, Kendrick Lamar, All Right. Taylor Swift, Blank Space. Little Big Town, Girl Crush. Wiz Khalifa, or as it says here, Khalifa. featuring
Maybe
Charlie
he changed
Puth.
His name.
He might have, just leaving out consonants. See You Again, and Ed Sheeran, Thinking Out Loud.
Wow, tough category.
Yeah, that is tough.
We're going to need your vote right now.
I'm going to say, this is for what? This is for Record of the
Year?
This
is Song of the Year.
Song of the Year, I'm going to give it to Wiz Khalifa and Charlie Puth. See You Again. That song was everywhere, and that gave people all the feels all year long.
All the feels.
Yeah.
Back to you.
Record of the Year. D'Angelo and the Vanguard, Really Love. Mark Ronson featuring Bruno Mars, Uptown Funk. Ed Sheeran, Thinking Out Loud. Taylor Swift, Blank Space. And The Weeknd, Can't Feel My Face. Gotta be The Weeknd, right?
My prediction is Uptown
monster.
Funk.
Yeah, Uptown Funk was a monster too, though.
That was the biggest single of the whole year.
Yeah, they were both huge.
It's too much.
Too much what?
It's too much, you guys.
It's too much what?
Too much Uptown Funk.
Okay.
Too much Can't Feel My Face. It's too much.
Right. They were both huge this past year, so.
Let's give it to Ed Sheeran is what I'm saying.
Okay. I don't think we get to make that choice, but I would
like
to.
Best New Artist, Courtney Barnett. Who's that?
Singer, songwriter, very popular.
Okay. James Bay, Acoustic Christmas Night 2 artist.
Mm-hmm.
Sam Hunt, he's that country guy that wears baseball hats, I think.
Right.
Tori Kelly.
She's
heard
amazing.
Her voice,
yes.
It is
she's
phenomenal.
Good. She's amazing.
And Meghan Trainor.
I predict that James Bay will win because Grammy voters historically love those sensitive singer-songwriter types.
Interesting. All right. Let's move on to something our audience might be most interested in. Best Alternative Music Album. You've got Alabama Shakes, Sound and Color. Mm-hmm. Bjork.
Nope. Are you
Bjork?
What?
Bjork.
No.
Yeah.
Oh, f*** you.
All right. My morning jacket with the waterfall, Tame Impala, Currents, and Wilco, Star Wars.
That's the alternative category.
Yes.
What was the first one you mentioned?
Alabama Shakes.
There's your winner.
Yeah, should be.
Yeah. As long as it's not Bjork, I don't even care about that.
It can't be. Can it?
Anyone but Bjork.
Mm-hmm. And best rock performance, again, Alabama Shakes, Don't Want to Fight, Florence and the Machine, What
Strong.
Kind of Man, Foo Fighters, Something from Nothing, L. King, X's and O's, and Wolf Alice, Moaning Lisa Smile.
Oh. Some good records in that category.
Yeah, it's hard for me to vote against Foos.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I wouldn't be surprised to see Florence win, though.
Yeah, Florence, too. Yeah.
They do love her. When are the Grammys? They're not until, like, February or something, right?
Sure.
Okay.
22nd-ish?
Yeah. Let's go with that.
Yeah, all right.
I'm glad I went to Allie for that.
I mean, I've got 20 pages of stuff, and none of them are in order. So the fact that I even got four of these categories out, I'm feeling pretty good about
it.
Coming up, we'll talk best rock album and best rock song. But for now, all of these people were born on today, December the 7th. Singer Tom Waits is 66. Muse drummer Dominic Howard is 38. Actress Jennifer Carpenter, 36. Dodgers outfielder Yasiel Puig is 25. I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman, walking the showbiz beat.
The Killers on the world famous K-Rock, 106.7 KROQ at 7:06, and that is A Great Big Sled.
Why is that song so good?
I can't how to answer that.
Allie was excited, though. She loves her boyfriend, Brandon Flowers.
I love him.
She loves him.
It's no Joel the Lump of Coal.
Right.
What is my favorite.
They have a lot of good Christmas songs, but I like that one, too. Hey, Killers are a band who has previously performed on the K-Rock Almost Who's to Christmas. They won't be there this weekend, but check this out. Everybody from Chris Cornell to Of Monsters and Men, the 1975, Panic at the Disco, Weezer, 21 Pilots, Silver Sun Pickups, Cage the Elephant, Disclosure, so much more. 22 great K-Rock acts playing this weekend, Saturday and Sunday at the Forum. We're giving away tickets to both nights right now at 1-800-520-1067. What's this game called?
Don't forget the singing bee lyrics.
Don't forget the singing bee lyrics. Don't forget the singing bee lyrics. Don't forget the singing bee lyrics. Don't forget the singing bee lyrics. Don't forget the singing bee lyrics. Don't forget the singing bee lyrics. Don't forget the singing bee lyrics. Don't forget the singing bee lyrics.
All right, thanks for joining us, everybody.
How about don't forget to write some lyrics for the theme song for this game? All right, this is a tough one, unless you're one of those people who can sing along with every song we play here on K-Rock in the car, and then you'll do very, very well. We are going to play the first part of a lyric from one of the songs that you'll be seeing this weekend at the Forum. All you have to do is sing the next couple of lines, and you will go into the drawing to win the tickets for both nights. These are floor seats, by the way, so these are this is a good deal.
They're
right
not
here.
Seats that you stand up on the floor, and also the front, sort of the front right bean has reserved. For falling on Sunday. So try to stay out of his way there.
How dare you? Who's our first contestant?
All right, our first contestant is Kathy and Pico Rivera. Hi there, Kathy.
Good morning.
All right, we're going to play a clip from a song. Do we tell them the band, right, and the song title?
We can if you want. Sure.
Ex-Ambassadors Renegades. And when the music stops, you pick it up and sing the next two lines.
Okay.
All right, here you go.
All hail the outlaws, Spielberg and Kubrick.
How about that? Nicely done.
Historically, women are better at this game than men. Great contestant, Kathy. Hold on. You are one step closer to winning tickets. Who's next?
Next is Leah in Long Beach.
You guys okay?
Yeah.
Well, poor Kathy was just trying to be excited, and he cut her right off.
I try so hard, Bean, and I fail. All right. Leah, you understand the game? You're ready to play?
I guess so. Yeah, let's go.
This is Bastille Pompeii. You finish when it stops. Go.
But if you close your eyes.
And you only feel like nothing stays at all. And you close your eyes.
Well, that sounds like the drunk karaoke version of it, but it's close enough.
Yeah, that was okay. Good.
Was
excellent.
Exceedingly drunk.
You hold on.
All right. Kathy's in. Leah's in. Who's up next?
Next is Cruz in Anaheim. Hi there, Cruz.
Hey, what's happening?
What's happening is don't forget the singing bee lyrics. All right, we're gonna
oh,
start.
Man.
We're gonna start El King's X's and O's, and you have to finish when it stops. You ready? There you go.
Shoot, man, I'm drawing a blank.
You're right, Bean. It's all women.
So far.
It's all women. Let's go to Lynette in Chino. Hi, Lynette.
Hi.
Are you ready for your song?
Lynette sounds excited.
Okay.
Hi. Never wanted to be on the phone with Kevin and Bean. Sorry, the worst day of my life. What did I do to deserve this?
All right, here you go. Wish we could turn back time to the good
old days. When my mom was sick, us to sleep, but now we're stressed out.
Come on.
Wow. When the mama sang us to
sleep, but now we're stressed out. Well done.
Let's go to another loser guy this time around. It's going to be Greg and Whittier, who's not going to know it.
Greg.
Dang it.
Why are guys so bad at this?
I don't know.
I don't know. Oh. Hey, I'm gonna try to represent.
All right, Greg.
In here, you know?
All right, represent. Here you go. Flying like a cannonball to the
earth. Oh, I couldn't even hear that. Can you play it again? Flying like a cannonball to the earth. Start as heavy as a bottle when you would get served.
I respect what he tried.
Yeah, heavy as a feather.
Yes, feather and dirt, not bottle and smirk or whatever it was you said. All right, let's try Marcel. He's in Montebello. He's on line six. He's our next contestant. We're giving away tickets if you're just joining us for both nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015 this weekend at the Forum. Marcel, how are you feeling about your chances here, sir?
Normally I feel pretty good, but with my luck, it's probably going to be a song I don't really know so well.
It's going to be George Ezra, Budapest. Give me one good reason why I should never make a change.
Give me one good reason and maybe all of this will go away?
Well, yeah, I mean, there were some of the right words in there.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Baby, if you want me, then all
of this will go away. Oh, damn it.
Oh! Yeah, we were looking for some baby if you hold me. All right, let's take one more, and let's make it Brianna in Buena Park. She's on line seven, because that way maybe we'll go out with a winner.
Hey, Brianna.
Hi. Hi, how are you guys doing today?
We are good, thank you. Your song is Weezer, Hash Pipe. Pick it up when it stops.
Santa Monica, kids are... Wait.
We're
down on Santa Monica,
where
tricks are for kids.
Nice.
All right, got your Brianna, got your Lynette, got your Leah, and your Kathy. One will win floor tickets for both nights at the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015 this weekend. Allie McKay, who's our winner, please?
Congratulations, Kathy.
Kathy, yay! From Pico Rivera. I'm not sure what
know.
That noise is.
I don't
is that?
Know. Does she want to go?
I don't think so. Congratulations and thank you for playing the game. Don't forget the Sing and Bee lyrics. Don't forget the Sing and Bee lyrics. Ladies and gentlemen, from Bakersfield, California, Gabriel Iglesias.
I am so self-conscious. I don't want anyone to smell me that I meet and all of a sudden have them say, Fluffy smell like ass. That's why I do double the maintenance. Twice the showers, twice the cologne, twice the deodorant, twice the powder. If I fart right now, this whole area will smell like cinnamon. I get inside of Walgreens, I don't even have a clue as to where to find a pregnancy test. I'm looking at all the aisles, they don't have one that says oops. TMZ finds out I beat my son, are you kidding me? They'll have me on TV the next day. Uh-oh, looks like chocolate cake isn't the only thing he beats up. For the record, I'm not fat, I'm fluffy. Call him Gabriel, call him Fluffy. All the ladies say,
oh, you're so sexy.
And that's all you need. Raise up your hands and do the Fluffy.
Do the Fluffy.
So sexy indeed, one of the world's most popular comedians. You will not see him Christmas night at the Irvine Improv. That show is sold out, but you can still get tickets for the 26th and 27th at the Microsoft Theater in downtown L.A. Tickets available through Axis.com. Gabriel Fluffy Iglesias joins us in studio. Hey, Fluff.
Good morning. You guys always have the greatest intros ever.
Like, you earned it.
Yeah, that's awesome. It gets me all pumped up.
So how you been? We haven't seen you for a couple months. What have you been up to?
Been running around trying to get my hands in as much as I possibly can before, the dream is over.
Yeah, I keep seeing you're doing this, you're doing that. I'm like, holy crap. He's got 17 things going on at the same time.
Yeah, and I just got into the monster truck game yesterday.
Well, sure. What does that mean, getting into the monster truck game?
Go on.
I'm going to be sponsoring a monster truck. It's going to be the Fluffy truck now. It's official. And if it goes good, I'm going to buy it.
So why? Is it your face? What's on the side of it? How does it work? Like, is this like going up against like Grave Digger?
Yes.
And what?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's going to be a Fluffy truck.
Wow.
Now,
hold on. Do you say no to anything? Just to clarify,
diets.
Are you a monster truck fan, and that's how you got into it, or did somebody just come to you and pitch you the idea? What happened here?
Oh, I'm not like a hardcore monster truck fan, but I have attended some events, and I got approached by some people, and they're like, "Listen, you know, we have this truck, and they showed me all the cool stuff that it does, and I was like, wow, I'm in. I'm gonna attend a bunch of events, and we'll see what happens. I mean, it's cool. It's a monster truck. They're gonna put my face on the side of the monster truck. We decided to call the truck Fluffy, obviously, for good marketing. Right. Yeah, it'll be cool.
Wow.
Has the WWE ever come to you and asked you to get involved? Because it seems like I think you would win.
You know what? I'm actually a huge wrestling fan. I mean, big time. I've been to the last 6 WrestleManias.
Really?
And I've been trying to get on Monday Night Raw to guest host it. And every single time, it's like, no, somebody else is doing something.
What?
Whatever.
That sounds like a perfect fit.
Yes. I would love to do it. And I'm very, very passionate about wrestling. And I mean, like, I'm one of those guys where if they had Jeopardy for wrestling, mm-hmm. I would kill it.
You'd nail it.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm one of those.
I'm not sure that's a thing, but maybe we should create it.
So, Fluffy, tell me about that. Is that something you watched a lot as a little kid? You go back that far?
Yeah, since WrestleMania 3, since Hulk Hogan body slammed Andre the Giant at the Pontiac
Silverdome. Who's your all-time favorite wrestler?
Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Well.
Oh, yeah.
Of course.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
oh, yeah.
Allie, who did we just have in recently that they did the documentary
Jake the
about?
Snake.
Jake the Snake.
Oh, I know Jake.
I'm sorry. Jake the Snake.
Jake's very cool. Him and Diamond Dallas Page live together in Atlanta.
We saw their documentary. We had both those guys on talking about it. And they, I mean, incredible.
Emotional, isn't it?
Emotional story, yeah.
Incredibly.
That's so interesting. That's so interesting that wrestling is another thing that you're really into that much. And so you go, when you go to these things, do you get to go, backstage or anything like that? Or are you just there as a fan?
Originally I was just there as a fan. But over the years, I'd start meeting wrestlers through social media. And I started getting invited backstage. So, I mean, I've been backstage a bunch of times. It's just that whole being part of a show,
mm-hmm.
just hasn't happened yet. But no, I'm very hardcore fan. I mean, I actually model my comedy show after wrestling. Everything about wrestling is an inspiration to what it is that I do on stage.
How do you model it after?
Well, you got to figure. It's not about what happens in the ring that's as important as what happens outside of the ring that brings the people in.
Okay.
So you got to provide a great show, which is great lights, great sound, screens, video content, great intros, great outros, which is why I give you guys a big compliment on the introduction. Big intros are just as important. And there's a lot of comics that are purists that are like, no, I just need a curtain and a stage.
And a mic,
that's all I need.
It.
No, man, you got to give the people a show.
That's why you end up playing Madison Square Garden,
by the way.
You're
not just doing dinky little shows. Yeah. You're selling arenas.
No, you got to give the people a full show. The merchandising is huge. I mean, I model all the merchandising after the way that they merchandise their stuff. The marketing is brilliant across the board through social media. They don't just utilize one type of platform. They utilize everything. And that's what you got to do.
See, he's not just pretty. He's smart, you guys.
I could never have anticipated
Not to mention a name, branding. I'm not just Gabriel Iglesias. I'm Fluffy.
You're
I got
Fluffy.
A nickname.
Yes.
Yeah. My wife has a Facebook friend who was on a plane with you a couple of weeks ago, Fluffy. Are you nervous?
No.
Are you nervous not knowing what the rest of the sentence is? Should he be?
Well, I know what I didn't do, so we're good.
And she posted all of these pictures of you taking pictures of her and her friends on the plane, and she raved about what a nice guy you were and how happy she was to meet you and how nice you were and how you talked to everybody. She couldn't believe somebody as big a star as you would be so accommodating to a group of girls on a plane. Do you ever turn it off, or when you're in public, you're fluffy?
I know when I'm in public, I know that, okay, I've put it out there that people, you know, I say, hey, come on up to me, say hi. If you want to take a picture, let's do it. If I'm not mentally, or just, you know, if I'm in a really bad mood or I'm sick or something, I won't go in public.
Yeah. Is that right?
I'll avoid it because
I don't. Like if you want to go shopping or whatever, you don't feel well and you don't want
to
go.
I won't put myself in that situation because I don't want to disappoint somebody. I don't want somebody to meet me and go, oh, he was an ass, or he was just not with it. He wouldn't take a picture with my kid. I don't want to be that guy.
That's so much more pressure than the average person.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
If it makes Christmas shopping hard.
Yeah. Just do it online, right?
Just got to do it online. And wow. Then even then, when the guy shows up to the door, hey! You know? Oh! You got me.
Well, I just want you to know, you just made her whole life, though. She was so excited to meet you, and she was so nervous about approaching you, and she just, I mean, she couldn't have had a better experience. So
very nice.
So well done, sir. Gabriel Iglesias is here. The Fluffy Breaks Even World Tour is happening in Southern California. As we mentioned, the Irvine Improv sold out Christmas, but you can still get tickets for the Microsoft Theater on the 26th and 22nd. That's in downtown, or 27th, I should say. That's in downtown L.A. Access.com. We'll talk about Fluffy Breaks Even being renewed. You just got back from Mexico. I want to hear about that. You got a new special coming up on Spike next week, too. We'll talk all about that with our friend Gabriel Iglesias right after this on K-Rock.
Fluffy's been talking about wrestling this whole time.
Yeah, brother. Oh, yeah. Look, he's a fluffy man.
Fluffy is not faking the funk, man.
No, he's not.
In deep on the WWE,
man,
right?
He loves wrestling.
Woo! Gabriel Iglesias, our friend Fluffy.
El Gabriel Iglesias.
In studio with us here on the Kevin and Beachy. You can see him on the 26th and 27th of this month at the Microsoft Theater in downtown L.A. Hey, you just tickets available at access.com. You just mentioned you just got back from Mexico. Was that a work thing or a vacation thing, Fluff?
I went to go pick up a package.
What?
All right. Go on.
So, yeah, work thing.
where do you like to vacation when you get a couple of weeks in your schedule and you have some time off? Where in the world do you go?
Long Beach at my house. I do not take vacations. I'm one of those guys that's a workaholic.
Uh-huh.
I firmly believe that my comedy career has an expiration date and I need to maximize it before it's gone. I'm not going to assume that this is always going to be here. Uh-huh. So right now that it's going good, do as much as I can, work as much as I can, get as many monster trucks as I can. You know, run around, work as much as I possibly can right now because I know it's going to go away.
I was asking the guys in the room why you were performing on Christmas night.
You know what? That show sells out quick. And my opening line is, I'm here for the same reason you're here. I had to get the hell out of the house.
But Fluffy, here's the thing, and I appreciate and applaud your work ethic, and obviously you've made a tremendously successful career based on that. Hard work and talent. That's how you got to where you are. But if you take a couple of weeks off and go lay on a beach somewhere in Hawaii, your career is not going to grind to a halt. You're going to be okay. You know that, right? You built up some equity now with the people.
Yeah, but the next time I get up on stage, I'm going to be rusty. I'm going to feel it. There's going to be kinks.
You've been doing comedy for 25 years. You think if you take 2 weeks off, you'll forget how to do it?
It's not that I want to forget how to do it. It's just that, you know, it's one of those things where I have to be on stage at least once a week. Mm-hmm. And if I go more than a week, then it's just like,
Can you relax? Is it possible?
No.
Why even take a vacation? If you're going to be miserable thinking about how you have to get back, why even take it?
That's why I don't. Because then, you know, like my girl, for example, she'll get on me because I won't put down my phone. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I got to stay in touch with the people. And, you know, she's like, put it down, relax. But then if I try to put it down and relax, I can't because then I'm paranoid. And I'm thinking, all right,
what am I missing?
What's going on?
Yeah.
You know?
Now, I would imagine another problem for you, Fluffy, is when your job requires you to wear Hawaiian shirts and shorts. What the hell are you supposed to wear on vacation?
Yeah, right. Absolutely nothing.
Let's take a call from a fan. This is Adam, who's going to join us on line 2 in Corona. 1-800-520-1067, by the way. We hadn't planned on it, but if anyone wants to talk to Fluffy, he's here. Adam, go ahead. You're on with Gabriel Iglesias.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Hey, how's it going, Fluffy?
What's up, Adam?
Okay. Hey, so sorry. About 6-7 years ago, I think I saw you at a Hard Rock Cafe at the City Walk. You were in the bathroom, at the stall, at the urinal. You were to my left. I'm pretty 100% sure that was you. And I was at the urinal, you're to my left, and you know how everybody says, at the urinal, you're not supposed to talk to anybody, don't look to your left, don't look to your right, especially don't look down.
Right.
So you're next to me, and I'm like, in my head, I'm like, that's Fluffy. I know that's him. And I wanted to, and I had a moment of silence as we were both staring at the wall directly in front of us as we're peeing, and I wanted to just say, Fluffy, is that you? Just to see if you would respond back and say, yes, that's me. but I didn't, I zipped out, I walked out, and I sat down my cable, which is right in front of the bathroom. I saw you walk out, and I told my girlfriend at the time, I'm like, that's Fluffy. Look, that's Fluffy. And you sat across from me, like 4 or 5 tables. I'm like, I swear to God, that's him. My girlfriend was telling me, no, you're crazy. That's just another guy.
Well, you've got a lot to say about a conversation that never even happened
in the bathroom.
Yeah, I mean, 6 years later, he's still telling the story as if it happened yesterday.
Adam is so excited, man. This is so cool.
I would like to say, though, that you made the right call to not talk to him while he was peeing. Correct?
Yes. I just rolled into my car this morning. I turned on my car, and I heard him talking. I heard you, Fluffy, talking, and I'm like, I got to call in. And I heard you talking about, you know, I like to be approached. And that's what always kills me, that I'm like, damn, I had my opportunity to talk to him at the urinal while we're both holding our wieners, and I didn't say anything. And now I got my opportunity. Well, I kind of,
right,
you know.
Adam is so excited.
He is.
This is
so
the greatest ever.
All right, Adam, why don't you buy a ticket to go to the Microsoft Theater in a couple of weeks and then go say hi to Fluffy at the show? How about that?
I hope that Fluffy, if I ever meet you on the street, you remember this conversation. And
I will never forget this conversation as long as I live. Yeah.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug, right?
It sure is. A hell of a drug.
Is that what we're saying?
I deal with
you. All right, Adam, we have to move on.
We really do. We got to move on.
All right, thank you. Thank you for the call. And just so you guys understand, for the record, I did put it out there that, you know, come on over, say hi and everything. Mm-hmm. But restroom selfies and restroom encounters, it's just a little bit awkward.
He did the right thing.
He did the right thing. I do get people to talk to me all the time at the stalls, and it gets weird.
Yeah. Can I tell you my most embarrassing?
Because they want to shake hands or high five, and I'm like, this is not the time.
Yeah. Were you going to bring that up, Ian?
Yes, no. Go ahead.
I was at a restroom, and Vin Scully.
Oh, no.
You did that to Vin Scully?
Was peeing next to me, and I was like, wow, that guy's a legend. Yeah. So I said, how do you think the Dodgers are going to do tonight?
Nope.
At the stall. And he's like, well, I think they've got a pretty good plan. And I was like, I am an idiot. I wish I could take it back, but I can't. So don't do that is what I'm saying from personal experience.
You just couldn't resist to hear Vin Scully talk.
I don't know. Look, I don't even like baseball, but to me, he's a god announcer. So I was just like, oh, my. I shouldn't have said it.
That's funny.
I should have got with Adam and just called him later on a cocaine binge.
Hey, Fluff, tell me about your
he had his Dodger head. Dog moment.
Tell me about your bobblehead.
Which one?
You have more than one?
Oh, man, yeah. We're on generation 4 now, the bobbleheads, and now I have two. I have one that has a smiley face and one that has a duck face.
And this is just a part of your merchandising that's available. If somebody wants to have a Fluffy bobblehead, they got one?
Oh, man. There's 4 different Fluffy bobbleheads. There's a Fluffy action figure, a Fluffy 4 Fluffy plush dolls. They all talk.
A Fluffy action figure is the least realistic toy of all time.
It's the laziest action figure ever. And the funny part is I actually had it modeled after the WWE figure so that you can interact the chairs and the tables. They all fit in the grip.
How about a burrito? Does that fit in the grip?
No, but I do go to Chipotle a lot, which means nothing. I don't sell food.
You're one of the strangest people I've ever met.
It's really? Different.
Yeah.
In
a good way. I'm not trying to be insulting. I'm just saying who knew he was such a big fan of monster trucks and wrestling and all of this stuff. It's great.
Bowling.
Talking to men in restrooms. I mean, really.
Right.
I'm in touch with the common man. Common man stuff. Bowling, you know.
In our final moments here, Fluffy, congratulations. Breaks Even's been renewed for a second season on Fuse. That was a super fun show. So you and your boys are going to be on the bus and
season
and
2,
telling
man.
Jokes, right?
Season 2.
I've always wanted to have my own food show. I've always loved the Diners and Drive-Ins and the Man versus Food. And so when I was given that opportunity to do something like that, the twist that I put on it was the having to work off the meal
part, yeah. which I'm not a big fan of, but you got to do what you got to do.
No one's a big fan of that.
Interesting.
it's a super fun show for folks who haven't seen it. It's on Fuse, and they run marathons and stuff. I mean, they love that show over there. They play it a lot. But, I mean, Fluffy literally reaches out to his fans and says, hey, I'm coming to Albuquerque. Where should I eat? And then they give him suggestions on where he should go, and he picks one. I mean, it's super cool.
And then the cool part is that we actually ask them how to what's a good workout or what's something different. And, again, it's a fan-driven show. The fans are the ones that pick the meals. The fans are the ones that pick the workouts. And we interact with everybody.
Let's talk to Sergio real quick. He's line one. He's in West Covina. He wants to talk to Fluffy real quick. Gabriel Iglesias in studio with us here on the Kevin DeMeo Show. Sergio, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Sergio? Real quick, before we even get started, I never sat in a stall next to you, did I?
just that's an important clarification.
All right, go ahead.
Actually, I'll just call in to thank Fluffy. A long time ago, I believe we met back in 2006.
Okay.
I met you while my son was going through cancer. He's going through chemo. It was a really hard time because I'd become a single father and everything, and I was took on a majority of the role of taking care of him. And it was kind of really hard for me, and my friend got tickets to one of your shows out in Manhattan Beach. And I never stopped watching you. You have always brought this, like, joy into my life, and every time I felt down, I always turned to your comedy to lift me up.
Thank you, Sergio.
Wow.
No problem at all. I met you, and you were really nice. You grabbed me. You took a picture with me. You signed your
name. We weren't in the bathroom, right?
We're not going back to that story.
We're in the back alley.
Back alley. Okay.
Oh, all right, moving up.
All right, good. But, Fluffy, I bet you hear stories like this a lot where you really start to think, you know what, this is more than just a job. This is something that actually has an impact on people's lives.
Which is why I cannot take breaks.
Okay, but breaks are good.
Breaks are good. Yeah. I mean, but it's one of those I know that there's expectations, and I know that there's stuff that I need to be doing. Okay. I can't just be sitting at home just, you know, trying to relax. I've worked so hard to get to this point, not to take a break.
Well, Sergio, thank you very much for calling and sharing that story. I'm sure that means a lot to Fluffy as well to hear that.
Thank you.
Big hug, Sergio.
Thank you, Fluffy. Keep doing what you're doing.
All right, he's bringing joy, guys. If you want to see him live and in person, you can. The Microsoft Theater in downtown L.A., December 26th and 27th. Tickets are at AXS.com. Look for Fluffy Breaks Even coming soon in Season 2 on Fuse. And Funniest Commercials of the Year, a new special on Spike, is going to be airing December the 17th at 9. Gabriel Iglesias, we love you, man. It's always
thanks, you guys.
Happy Merry Christmas to you.
You too.
Man. And now this guy. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. It's Kevin and Bean Show at 7:57.
I don't know if it was too much partying after the Eagles beat the Patriots last night or not, but for whatever reason, Ralph Garman is not here today and filling in for the Showbiz Beat this hour. Here's Ally McKay.
And because you have to put up with me, I'd like to give something away.
All right.
The movie Point Break is coming to theaters December the 25th, but you lovely caller, you're going to get a pair of passes to the red carpet premiere of Point Break at the TCL Chinese Theater on December the 15th. That's going to be
1-800-520-1067.
I love you.
Wow, the kids and Toto all in one. It was almost too much. Almost too much. But call right now, like Toto
said.
1-800-520-1067. Yeah.
I love you.
I love you too. The first five.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067.
I love you.
First five callers right now.
By the way, the action looks incredible in that movie. Kevin, have you seen the commercials for this?
I have,
thing?
Yes.
It's like X Games. It's crazy, yeah.
Yeah, of course, inspired by the 1991 hit. If you want to go check it out more, pointbreakmovie.com. Watch the trailer, check it out. But right now.
Call now. 1-800-520-1067.
I love you.
First five callers are going to see the red carpet premiere.
Call now. All right.
I hate you so much, Kevin. Well, we announced some of the nominations for the 2016 Grammys, which are happening, by the way, Bean, in case you were wondering, Monday, February 15th.
All right.
At Staples Center. Thanks for asking.
Last hour.
I looked that up for you. Kendrick Lamar, of course, leading with 11 nominations. Taylor Swift and The Weeknd both tied at 7. We did not talk about this, the best rock song.
Okay, best rock song.
Or did we?
We did not.
Alabama Shakes, Don't Want to Fight. L. King, X's and O's. James Bay, Hold Back the River. Highly Suspect, Lydia. And Florence and the Machine, What Kind of Man?
That's the rock song category.
Right.
Yeah.
What?
Yes.
Look, I like that L. King song.
Same, but is it a rock?
It is not a rock song.
No. Best rock album. James Bay, Chaos in the Calm, Death Cab for Cutie.
Okay.
Okay. Highly Suspect, Mr. Asylum, Muse, Drones. All right.
All right.
And Slipknot, The Gray Chapter. Really? Slipknot, you guys?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Muse.
That's all about Muse, right?
I would think. I don't know. Highly Suspect. I don't know who they are. Mm.
They're from Massachusetts.
Are they?
Cape Cod, I think.
Well, so they're bad?
They'll never win then. Best Rap Album, J. Cole, 2014 Forest Hills Drive. Dr. Dre, Compton. Drake, if you're reading this, it's too late. Kendrick Lamar, To Pimp a Butterfly. And Nicki Minaj, The Pink Print. That's all Dr. Dre, right? There's not even...
I don't... Really?
Question.
I think it's Kendrick Lamar.
I think
it's between Kendrick Lamar and Drake.
I think Kendrick... It should be Kendrick, but I think Dr. Dre is going to swoop in there and he's going to be like, hey, you didn't forget about me. Sorry. Celebrity birthdays. All these stars were born on today, December the 7th. Singer Tom Waits.
You know how Ralph always says, hey, here's a clip of a song, and then I interrupt with a song that's not that?
Yeah.
Tom Waits is one of those that I use because... it's impossible to believe that this is actually a singer and actually a song.
You're the head, you're on the spear. You're the nail on the cross. You're the fly in my beer. You're the key that God loves.
What is going on there?
Tom Waits is amazing, first of all.
Let me say a word about Tom Waits.
Okay.
He earned the ability to not be able to sing now because of all the years that he put out such great records, and he's an astonishing songwriter.
All right.
So he's got a body of work, and he built up a huge fan base, and we just kind of accepted, okay, that's how he sings now. I guess that's what we get.
It's the Bob Dylan thing.
Yes. It's the Bob Dylan thing.
All right.
But you're right, Kevin. If you just are listening to that, in a vacuum, you go, okay, nobody gives that guy a recording contract.
Actor C. Thomas Howell is 49 years old. Muse drummer Dominic Howard is 38. On his birthday, nominated for a Grammy.
How about that?
That's not bad. Singer Sarah Bareilles is 36. Actress Jennifer Carpenter is 36 as well. And Dodgers outfielder Yasiel Puig is 25. No?
Well done.
I'm Allie McCann for Ralph Garman.
Hey, Allie, check out this limited time offer. Me? You can earn 30 cents per gallon. And
Friday morning, we were live in Fullerton. It's our annual visit to the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen for the Miss Double December 2016 pageant. Allie, it was your first time being with us. What did you think of being at the pageant?
I was expecting, I don't mean to be rude, but I was expecting a lot grosser comments.
From the crowd,
grosser,
you mean?
Chanting and show us your boob. Yeah. It was shockingly respectful. And I apologize to the listener for thinking you weren't capable of it. But because, I have social media and I know you're capable.
Mm-hmm. But we love the ladies, especially our contestants. So we're not going to, and I don't think anybody wants to say anything rude or mean to them. I mean, they're nice ladies who are really, you know, working hard for our entertainment. Why would we push that away?
Sound like a DJ at a strip club.
Right? What's happening?
Man, they're working hard for your entertainment. Put some dollars up there.
It was a great crowd, though.
It really was.
We had a really good time, and it was nice to meet so many people and take so many pictures, and it was a lot of fun, and there were some fantastic entries this year. And for the second year in a row, we have a winner who is not a dancer, is not a swimsuit model, is somebody who's just a regular girl who said, hey, why not me? And applied to be Miss Double D, and she is the winner, and we're going to talk to her on the phone right now. Ladies and gentlemen, your Miss Double D, Mallory, on the phone with us on K-Rock. Hey, Mallory!
Hi, good morning. Hi.
How was your Friday morning, my dear?
Eventful, very eventful. I was extremely nervous. I almost didn't make it up there a couple times.
Almost didn't make it up there.
I was extremely nervous, yeah. Everyone was very supportive and encouraging, so it was very exciting.
We have a complete recap of the whole pageant up at krock.com or kevinandme.com. You can see the video, including the interview that we did a couple of minutes after the pageant with Mallory, and you were telling us, and I was really surprised that I thought there'd be, like, backstabbing going on backstage between the girls, but you were saying all the girls were, like, helping each other get dressed and makeup and the whole deal?
Yeah, everyone was really nice. Even every
every girl's friend that they brought along was even nice. It was really awesome, and every time we would go up there, we're like, you got this. Everyone was really, really sweet, and I hope that we can all keep in contact. They were really, really sweet girls.
I got to tell you, it's always a crapshoot. Every year we go, okay, we don't know what's going to happen with the audience. We don't know, you know, which girl is going to go. Sometimes girls go crazy, let's be honest.
We have had a couple of psycho contestants throughout the year.
Yes, but
not this year. Like, what's the point of putting a bunch of girls in swimsuits backstage if there's not going to be a girl fight, a little hair pulling? I mean, what are we doing wrong?
You know, it's already hard enough going up there, so I'm glad everyone was sweet to each other because we're getting up there in swimsuits, and it's freezing. Everyone's in pea coats and hoodies, and here we are in swimsuits.
So. You were in the swimsuit portion of the program at 6:30, I think. So.
Yeah, which, by the way, you guys, what's that all about?
I keep asking that every year in the meeting. I say, hey, maybe move it a little later for the girls.
Okay, that's very thoughtful.
Yeah.
All right, speaking of the competition, of course, we go through the morning, and there's lots of different parts to this. The first is the swimsuit, and then is the talent competition. And, Kevin, you want to take it from here?
Well, I feel like we should be, this is no reflection on you, Mallory, this is on us. I feel like we should be forced to listen to that show because I was listening in the other room when Mallory was jump roping.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it was great on site.
Right.
Okay. But you're when saying you're as a listener, not so
I'm
much?
Saying if you're listening to somebody jumping rope and you can't see it, maybe,
lacking.
Maybe. Let's hear.
The lovely Mallory is carrying with her, as you can see, a jump rope. She is going to be jumping rope for us this morning.
Well, okay.
Those of you in front may want to put on your protective eyewear now.
I don't think they have protective eyewear.
Oh, well, they should, because she is going to be doing some jump roping, and here she goes.
This is the most athletic group we've ever had, I think.
That happened on our radio station.
There's not a lot there for the listener. I did try to mention a couple of times during the talent portion, I tried to remind people that we were streaming it, but of course, you know, that's not going to help anybody if they're driving, for instance.
I feel like we did good work.
All right. So then, so Mallory does that. And the jump roping, I know you were practicing hard backstage, but you did have a little bit of trouble out there in front of the people, right, Mel?
Yeah, I messed up quite a bit. I think I was a little bit too close to that table, so I am thankful I didn't whip anyone behind me with that jump rope.
Yeah, I don't think anyone really paid attention to your jump roping as much as you.
Yeah.
Sorry. I thought we were
so hard and
it's all good
up there.
I thought we were going to lose the girl on the pogo stick, by the way. It looked for a minute like she was heading toward the side of the stage. It was terrifying.
Yeah, she was out of control.
Oh, no.
All right. So then we had the interview portion. And I have to tell you, as warm and fuzzy as I was, Mallory, listening to your answer to Ralph's question, there are a lot of people who were calling the authorities to have you declared certifiably insane. Let's listen to that.
What one member of the Kevin and Bean Show would you like to have on that deserted island with you?
That's easy. Bean, of course.
Why in the world would you choose Bean?
We already have our future plan. We have a unicorn, a zebra, all kinds of stuff happening.
That's the most disturbing answer we've gotten today, I think.
You remember when she came into the studio, she told us she's tired of being around a lot of people. She just wants to live on a farm with a bunch of animals. It's pretty perfect.
Yes, we're perfect for each other.
Here's what I like. I like that the entire audience booed.
Yes.
That's not acceptable.
As great an idea as it is, Mallory, it's kind of a waste of a celebrity wish. I mean, it really is. I mean, Ryan Gosling is still in the world, right?
No, he's out of the Kevin and Bean family.
Oh, okay.
But even so.
Even so. My God.
Mallory was outraged.
I was outraged.
She's like, are you kidding?
So Mallory's declared Miss Double D, and of course, a lovely kiss from Ashley, which you guys did not rehearse. How did that go for you on stage, did you think, Mallory?
I think it went great. She was in the trailer with us, and we were chatting with her. I think she's an awesome, awesome girl. So You know, it was okay. It was a lot of friend love up there. So
definitely. And then we had lunch afterwards. We hung around at the slide bar, and we had lunch, a bunch of us at a table. And, Mallory, I don't know how much you heard. Did you hear the guy who was coming up and wanted to have a very intense ISIS and gun control conversation yeah. with me at lunch?
Oh, he got very serious very fast.
Yeah.
A little startling. I'm not really sure why that was on his mind at that specific point. He was had a little bit of alcohol in him.
Just a little, though. I don't think. Yeah. Or maybe a lot.
It was just so weird because, I mean, that's the thing about the Miss Double D pageant. I mean, it's all about fun. It's all about yeah. hot chicks and drinking and food, and there's a live band playing, and it's Friday, and we're all feeling good, and everybody's having a good time. And this guy comes up, and he's like, hey, the Sunni versus the Shia, man, what do you think? And I'm like,
yeah.
I'm not sure what to do
like,
with
what's
that.
What's happening? Should we be afraid of you right now?
The answer to that, Mallory, is yes.
Yeah. Hey, yes. I'm a proud NRA member. What about gun control? And it's maybe a big issue for that conversation. I don't know. It just didn't seem like the right setting for it. But it was a lot of fun to have lunch with you and to get a chance to hang out. And I guess we'll see you again this week. And we're very excited, Mallory, about your reign for Miss Double December, which is up and running. And are you excited about Acoustic Christmas this weekend?
I'm very excited. And I think all my Mark and Amanda, my friends, are excited to be coming. And so it'll be fun. It's going to be a lot of fun. I've never actually been able to go because I have to pay mortgage and keep my lights on at home. It's always been pretty pricey, so yeah. This is going to be my first time. I'm really excited.
Well, we're going to have a lot of fun in 2016, and congratulations. Thank you so much for entering the pageant. And as I said when I brought you on, I mean, you're not somebody who's been a model or a dancer or anything like that. You're just a regular girl who went for it, and I just want people to keep that in mind if they think they're not right for the competition next year because, you can enter from anywhere, no matter what your background is. And, Mallory, you are awesome, and we'll look forward to seeing you this weekend and look forward to spending some time with you next year. Congratulations again, Miss Double D.
Thank you so much.
Monday mornings, we are always grateful for the opportunity to talk to our friend Andrew Siciliano, host of Around the NFL on the NFL Network and DirecTV's Red Zone channel. Johnny Football.
Hey, back everybody.
How are you, my friend?
Good. How are you guys?
Very good. How was your day yesterday?
My day was fantastic and long and wonderful and football-filled, and the last couple of games were awesome. Rarely do you get, with the Panther game, the Panthers-Saint game, and then Ali's Patriot game, two games right down to the wire, right up until nearly 5 o'clock, where you had to go back and forth as fast as we did. It was awesome. I loved it. It might have been our best day.
I love what you tweeted at the end of the day, which is, that's the beautiful thing about football, is you think you know everything when you wake up in the morning, and when you go to bed at night, it's all different.
I said this. Look, I've said it before. It's the world's greatest reality show because you actually have talented people whose lives change every week, and they aren't reading a script.
Yeah, sure.
Unlike the majority of reality TV, where these people have no talent, it's rats in a cage, and they're reading scripts poorly. But there's no way on earth, and this is not rubbing into Allie, there's no way on earth any reasonable person could have suggested the Eagles would have been up 21 in the fourth quarter over the Patriots.
Correct.
That is impossible. And it happened. Somehow.
It's also impossible to have predicted a drop kick.
Well, they've done it
before.
That was
my favorite thing
of the
day. But it's
been years. And Belichick afterwards.
Why?
Was asked, why'd you do it?
Yeah,
and he just moved on. I don't think he refused to acknowledge that it happened. They went on a 28-0 run, they being the Eagles after that. It was 14-0. He tries the drop kick. It's 28-14, like 3 minutes later. Well, not 3 minutes, but you get my point.
It didn't work well, but they did a drop kick. That's all I care about.
They got cute. They tried to do something to catch the Eagles off guard. It was a creative way of doing an onside kick, if you will. Now, no matter how creative it is, why do you need an onside kick there?
I think it's just a surprise. It's just because of the surprise of why would they do an onside kick there. That exact reason.
Yes, and it didn't work.
It didn't work.
It
Belichick
did not work.
Has more plays in his playbook than any other coach, right?
I don't know. Like. I mean,
do they have to practice that? They have to go, okay,
of course
go out and
they
practice the drop
it.
Kick.
Yes, they practiced
That's so great.
You know, they've done it before, Doug Flutie, or something similar, at least. They tried to be different and cute and creative, and it failed miserably. And, again, you don't know what you know. They woke up as the one seed and this juggernaut, and they go to sleep as the three seed in the AFC. Now, if they run the table, they're likely back at number one. I haven't done that math, but I think that's right. So they should be fine, but they've lost two games in a row, and now they truly are the walking wounded. And they say Gronk's going to come back. Oh, it's only 1 or 2 weeks. I'll believe that when I see it.
Yeah.
Amendola came back yesterday. Edelman may be back for the playoffs. They're in pieces. And after a while, I still think, by the way, they're going to the Super Bowl. But after a while, you just say, okay, well, with that coach and that quarterback, yes, I will always think they're going to win.
Right.
But they are human, I think.
I'm not sure Belichick is.
I don't know.
I'm not
positive. See, is that like a Force Awakens commercial, or is he's really... You know,
I can't
he's got
answer
the,
that.
Yeah, I don't.
But he's a Dark Lord. There's no question.
The Dark Lord of the Sith.
Look, if you're a Patriots fan, you're concerned, but you're not worried, right?
Patriot fan?
I'm worried.
I would say
you are worried.
Okay. Yeah, they haven't looked good. I'm going to come right out and say it. The last four games, they haven't looked like the Patriots. They're falling down like flies. It does not look great.
But you realize you're not supposed to blow everyone out. So, like you say, they didn't look good. They didn't look good against the Giants, but they won. And the Giants are, despite what we've seen a couple of weeks ago, a good team.
And here's the thing. You say you're not supposed to blow everyone out. Yeah, we are.
No, you're not.
Yeah, we are.
Calm down.
Yeah, we are.
It doesn't go that way.
Well, it should.
The other team gets paid, too.
Sometimes you're going to win big, and sometimes you're just going to be lucky to escape with a win.
It's survive in advance.
Right.
That's all it is.
It is the walking wounded, though, as far as every single team. It just seems like, holy crap, they got to fill in people.
Guess what? The healthiest teams are usually the winningest teams. Cincinnati has been healthy all year. They're also good, but they've been healthy all year. Carolina, for the most part, has been healthy all year.
Yeah.
And they're 12-0. They have the longest winning streak.
Would you say... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, in the NFC. Not the... So take the Patriots out of it. But right. In the NFC, they've won 16 straight games now. That's a full season over two seasons, if you take out the playoff loss. That's the longest in the NFC since the 1970 merger with the AFL.
There comes a point in every NFL season, Andrew, where you start to wonder what the possibility is of an undefeated season. It hasn't happened in 50 years or whatever it's been. Is it likely at this point with the Panthers, or would you still very much bet against it?
No, I think they have a good shot for the regular season. Obviously, Allie can tell you how difficult it is to go 19-0.
I don't want to talk about it.
But I can't in good conscience pick any team to go 19-0.
Yeah, that does seem impossible even if you're at your best.
Even if you're at your best. But look, look what Cam Newton did yesterday.
Yeah.
All right, you got a minute. Go for it. He marched him right down the field again. And he basically put, in my opinion, he put his name on the MVP trophy yesterday. However, if the Patriots keep winning with guys off the street, then why shouldn't Brady win the MVP?
I'm sure you've seen this before. It's been going around more and more every week, that thing for Bleacher Report that guy wrote talking about how Cam Newton was the Carolina Panthers' worst NFL draft pick ever. Have you seen this, Andrew?
No, I don't read Bleacher Report. What happened?
Oh, my God. It's so great. And every week when the Panthers win again, it gets retweeted again. The guy wrote, Cam Newton is a surefire bust. I am so certain of this that if he is the Panthers' starting quarterback in 2016, I will buy a Cam Newton jersey and stand in the stadium parking lot in my underwear when the Panthers come to Tampa Bay and hold a sign proclaiming that Auburn rules over Florida and Carolina rules over Tampa Bay. He goes on and on and on. This guy will be long gone by then. Here are just a few of the reasons why I believe he will make Ryan Leaf only the second biggest draft bust in history. And he goes on to talk about
When did he write this?
2011.
2011.
Right as he was drafted. He goes on to write about how Cam Newton doesn't have enough experience as a quarterback. He only had one good season as a college player, and on and on and on. The very end of it, though. Let's ask Denver Broncos fans if they would like to trade Tebow for Newton straight up. They would laugh in your face. Football fans know, even the experts have no clue. We can spot a fraud when we see
what?
One. In 5 years, when Tebow is leading Denver into the playoffs, and Cam Newton is riding someone's bench, remember this article is how it is.
Who wrote it?
His name is Jim Folsom. He's a senior analyst for Bleacher Report.
Okay.
I'll send it to you. He does good work.
He does, evidently. Without knowing the guy, back in 2011, and this is not an exaggeration, back in 2011, you were a lot. They hired people in their underwear in their mom's basement to write for Bleacher Report.
Okay, all right.
Everybody got a byline on Bleacher Report.
Okay.
They have since cleaned it up a bit since CNN bought them. However, since CNN, now the front page of CNN.com is – top 15 Instagrammed restaurants in South Beach,
right?
You know, top 10 genocidal maniacs. They made it like Bleacher Report.
So we shouldn't care what this guy wrote at the time.
Oh, I think it's hysterical. Keep reading it.
Cam cannot hit the broadside of a barn with a football. All their issues aside, isn't the number one job of an NFL quarterback to complete passes? It just goes on and on talking about how terrible Cam Newton is. Well, who's getting the last laugh now?
He's going to be the MVP. And they already won the division. So they're the only team.
They're the only team that locked it up, right?
They actually locked it up. They won the division. They're the only team to actually clinch a playoff spot, believe it or not. They clinched it before they even took the field because Atlanta lost. Hi, Dave. Atlanta lost to the Buccaneers. Atlanta is now not going to make the playoffs, I would assume. And Carolina, is in.
That's crazy. And the 49ers were almost eliminated until they came back and figured out a way to win.
Because awesome.
They would have been out if they lost that game, right?
They would have been out. And so, by the way, the quarterback that won for the 49ers is the former Jacksonville quarterback who was was exactly the guy you just described in terms of being a bust.
Okay, right. Uh-huh.
Blaine Gabbert. Uh-huh. Bust.
I saw him running for a touchdown yesterday.
Out of Jacksonville. They bench Colin Kaepernick in favor of him. And I'm not suggesting he's Joe Montana.
Right.
But he won again.
Yeah.
He won again.
Yep, exactly.
How much of that comes down to luck, do you think? With different players, with different teams, different systems, how much is it just luck versus being unlucky?
Yes.
Okay.
All of the above.
I'm happy with that.
Sure.
Question.
I mean, if you get drafted to a bad team with a bad coach and bad parts around you and a bad structure, you may fail. You may have great talent that may never be realized. I had this conversation with Donovan McNabb a couple of years ago because the Browns in 99 took Tim Couch, who was a decent quarterback who I think in a different situation might have had success.
He's generally viewed
as a bust.
Okay.
Okay. Donovan McNabb then went to the Eagles, right? After Kelly Smith went to the Bengals. But Donovan McNabb eventually went to the Eagles. And I said, what would have happened to you if you had been drafted one overall by the Browns, which a lot of people wanted? And he kind of shook his head and like, I'm just glad it didn't happen. But he may have been forgotten in 5 years. Yep. If he had been drafted by
the Browns. Well, you do wonder about those backup guys who just never get the opportunity to play and prove themselves.
Sure.
You know? All right, we got to take a break. Andrew Siciliano is here. It's our Monday recap of the NFL Week 13 just behind us. Of course, DirecTV's Red Zone channel as well. And we'll take a quick break. Come back with more with Andrew right after this on K-Rock. Talking NFL with our friend Andrew Siciliano from DirecTV's Red Zone and the NFL Network. Chips Dolphins win a game, but the real story is the first ever defensive two-point conversion in NFL history, Andrew. That was pretty fun, right?
It was awesome, and we actually missed a Patriots block punt because you don't want to sit on a – I hate to admit the misses, but you don't want to sit on a punt. Normally you don't show the punts. But we did it because we were so excited about the missed extra point, of which there were 8 yesterday plus the block. In comparison, there were 8 missed extra points all of last year. There were 8 yesterday and 8 last week.
It sure seems like it makes the game more interesting.
It does,
especially it's not a given.
When you're allowed to, like the college rule, run the thing back for 2 points. So in the Saints game, they blocked the extra point, which is now, 35 yards. And then Stephon Anthony, the rookie out of Clemson, ran it back, and he got 2 points for that. Now, there is still a play we have not yet seen.
Oh, what's
so that?
That
was the first one of those ever. Okay. There is, I know this sounds nuts, and I can't wait for it to happen. There is such a thing as now a 1-point safety.
What's a what? How?
A 1-point safety can happen.
How?
Okay. Go into the world of imagination.
Okay.
So we're going for 2.
Right.
Okay. You're Carson Palmer, let's say.
Okay.
Okay. You drop back to pass. You throw the ball.
Uh-huh.
Okay. It's intercepted in the end zone.
Wouldn't happen because I'm throwing it to Fitzgerald.
Okay. Fine. But let's say.
We're in imagination here,
I'm
Kevin.
Sorry.
Okay.
Come
okay.
On.
No, but actually it's not because it's you. So it would get picked. Okay.
Okay, good.
So
it
gets picked.
That's a good point.
Guy runs it out of the end zone.
Right.
Okay. Because he could run it back.
Right.
He runs it out of the end zone. He then, in an effort to avoid a tackle, runs back in the end zone.
What?
Okay. So
we'll say he's trying to avoid a tackle. He's zigging
so
and zagging.
He intercepts in the end zone, goes out and comes back in?
Yep. And I tackle you.
1 point.
Or tackle it. That's a 1-point safety.
What? That's so
it's
stupid.
It's a 1-point safety. Oh, okay, here's another one. Hypothetically, they're going for 2.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And the quarterback loses the ball.
Right.
And it gets kicked around a bounce, right? Let's say it goes all the way back down to the other end zone. Let's say someone picks it up, runs it back that way.
Quite the fumble.
Okay, wow. It's ridiculous.
Okay.
But let's say someone runs it back that way, then he loses the ball. We've seen crazy things happen before.
Yes.
Okay? And the team that snapped it, that was going for two, picks it up somehow and gets tackled in the other end zone. That's a one-point safety.
That's a lot of running for 1 point.
Okay, that rule
no
was,
wonder the referees have to meet all the time and try to talk about what's happening.
But that's new this year. When they changed the extra point and moved it back, okay, and when they had to rewrite these finer points of the rules, how are we going to do this now? And they came up with these worst-case scenarios, and they include 1 point safeties.
I mean, I guess you have to do that because you can't just be standing around, you know, with your hands in your pockets if it happens during a game.
You've
got
to
have something.
Yeah.
It's just like if we were to do a radio contest where it was a flip of a coin, somewhere in the rules it would have to say what happens if the coin doesn't land on either side and it stands on its end.
Exactly.
It's not going to happen, but if it does, what do we do?
Well, I was excited when we saw the 2 point thing yesterday because we had been waiting all year for it. The 1 point safety is still elusive.
You brought up Carson Palmer.
That's a little nerdy.
Okay, back to you. I want to ask you how comfortable Kevin and other Arizona Cardinals fans should feel right now.
No, they should feel very comfortable. And they get the Vikings this week, right? On Thursday night, and Minnesota's off a bad loss in which they can't move the ball offensively, and they're going to be reeling, and the Cardinals are at home for that game.
Yep.
So the great. Now, they're not going to get the one seed.
I feel like if he stays healthy, that's the whole key.
If he stays healthy, they are as good a team as there is.
Having said that, he's also good for at least one ridiculous giveaway somehow.
Because they're so aggressive. When it's 3rd and 18 and every other team is throwing a screen pass or dumping it down or throwing it 12 yards when you need to throw it 18 and their fans are coming off the couch and throwing beers at the TV, the Cardinals don't do that. They throw it 25 on 3rd and 18. They're aggressive. It makes them fun to watch. They're good enough to pull it off. I love them. And this is their best start. You know this one?
Yeah.
Since they played at Comiskey Park in Chicago. They were 18 moves ago, and they played in a baseball stadium on the south side of Chicago.
Wow. Is there such thing as, and are the Cardinals a good regular season team, not a great playoff team?
Well, it's hard to say because last year they didn't have their quarterback. I mean, they were on their third quarterback, I think, when they lost in Carolina in the playoffs.
Right, right.
So, I don't know. They haven't been this good in a while. Since Kurt Warner was there, and he took them to within...
to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, to within like a couple of seconds of the Super Bowl.
Yep.
Andrew, we're almost out of time. I have to ask, should I feel great about the Seahawks, or were they playing a Minnesota Vikings team that was so injured yesterday that I shouldn't get that excited about winning?
No,
like 30
feel
or
great.
It was.
Absolutely feel great. They're 7-5. They're in, and nobody wants to play them, which is so cliched. But it's true.
They've won 4 out of the last 5.
It doesn't matter how you play in September. I mean, it does matter how you play in September. It matters how you play now.
Yeah.
I mean, history is littered, especially in the wild card era, with teams that get in as a wild card, play their best ball in December, and win the Super Bowl. Whether it's the Steelers, whether it's the Packers, all you have to do is get in. And teams now win on the road. It used to be you never won on the road in the playoffs. Now teams go on the road, and they win.
All right. Cowboys-Redskins tonight, Monday night game on ESPN.
All right.
Do we care?
You do. And here,
I don't.
No.
Okay,
I do. You do.
Okay.
Here's why. So if the Cowboys win, they're 4-8.
Okay.
And they
get 1 point for a safety?
And they're a game out of first.
They're one game out of first?
If they
win. 4-8?
Because the Redskins would go to 5-8.
Okay.
No. They're whatever it is. My math is bad. Just take my word for it.
Redskins would be 5-7.
The Redskins would be 5-7, correct. The Cowboys would be 4-8.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The Eagles are now 5-7, okay. So it would put the Redskins and Eagles at 5-7 and very much alive, and the Cowboys, who aren't putting Romo on injured reserve because they have this ridiculous idea that they're going to make the playoffs, and then they could bring him back to break the collarbone again in January.
All right,
that's their plan.
Right? But that's specifically why they're not putting him on injured reserve. The Cowboys would be one game out of the playoffs at 4-8.
I will say, as a veteran of this radio show for so many years, mm-hmm. I like the idea of sucking but still being successful. it has worked for us, and perhaps it will work for the Cowboys. Look for Andrew this afternoon at 3 on Around the NFL on the NFL Network, and, of course, every Sunday on DirecTV's Red Zone channel. Hey, thanks for coming in. We'll see you next weekend at the Acoustic Christmas.
How about that? Can't wait, guys.
All right, man. Bye-bye.
Hey!
Come on, Kevin.
It was. You're right.
I mean, come on. Yeah. That's the original.
We let you down.
Hey, hey, hey!
Too late, Rodney. Speaking of hey, we got to stop the King of Mexico, who announced to us this morning that he is holding a puppy shower, whereby he invites friends of his to come over and bring him toys for his new puppy. We weren't able to talk any sense into Dave, but I understand we are going to be talking to Dave's girlfriend, Krista, next hour, Kevin. Maybe we can talk some sense into her.
Well, she is a reasonable one in that group.
I hope so. I hope in this case we can get in time to stop this terrible thing. Because you know what? Puppy showers, all love puppies. Puppy showers, not a thing. That's coming up, plus a brand new Internet Roundup. First, though, Allie's in for Ralph with the Showbiz Beat on a Monday. What's going on?
Hey, we've been talking all about the Grammy nominations. Huge, huge numbers of people that are going to be tuning in for that. But a lot of people not understanding how the Grammys quite work. How is Adele not up for anything? That type of thing. And, Bean, you were saying that basically you had to submit before October 1st.
You had
for this
to release your album by September 30th. So the nominations for this year that came out this morning cover October 1st, 2014 to September 30, 2015, which means Adele's album came out way after the deadline.
Which means 2017, when she's up for 500 Grammys, we're all going to be saying, but that came out like 8 years ago.
That album exactly. So long ago. Right? What happened?
Well, that's how I feel about some of these songs that you were telling us that were nominated, like Girl Crush. Like, I think Girl Crush was played at my high school prom. Like, how is that, how is that still eligible? But I guess it came out long enough ago.
Well, she did it again. Adele's 25 sold another 1.1 million copies for the week that ended last Thursday. That's according to Nielsen Music. That makes her the first artist to sell more than a million copies of an album 2 weeks in a row. And the sales total for 25 so far, 4.49 million copies. And that's just 2 weeks in.
That's insane. I'm going to just go out on a limb and say it. I know it's controversial. Not everyone agrees.
Okay.
Adele is popular.
Wow. Hot take. I hope you don't get any blowback from that.
I'm a little bit worried, but I got to be honest with myself.
Yeah. Well, her last album, 21, released in 2011, went on to sell more than 11 million copies. And she's, she's on track to beat that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's doing pretty good. Did you guys like the 1996 film Trainspotting?
Very much.
Very much. Well, you're in luck if you've been waiting for a sequel. Looks like there will be one to Danny Boyle's hit movie. And apparently the principal cast is all on board. And look for it in about 2017.
Why?
I don't know.
Why so soon?
I don't know. and what are we... Are we going to check in with them? Like, hey.
How are things going?
You kick it or you good? What's happening?
I don't know. That's odd.
I thought it was as well. But I'll still watch it. Let's be honest.
Sure.
If you were wondering how The Wiz did, and I know, Kevin, you were, 11.5 million people tuned in to Thursday's The Wiz, and that's up against the Packers-Lions game. That's a huge, huge number. Also set a Nielsen Twitter record as the most social live special program in the more than 4 years of tracking such numbers. That's generating more reactions than NBC's two prior musicals, Peter Pan and The Sound of Music. And Kevin, don't you worry
about
if you missed it.
Because
they're going to re-air it on Saturday, December the 19th at 8 p.m.
I'm so busy.
But you've got now like 2 weeks.
The thing with the people.
On Saturday?
Yes.
The 19th?
Did you say the 19th?
I did at 8 p.m.
At 8 p.m.
Oh, no.
What a bummer.
Oh. If you want, I can record it and you could just come over at your leisure.
Yeah. Let's.
Should I pencil that in?
Yeah, I'll meet you there.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Can't wait. All of these stars were born on today, December the 7th. Actor C. Thomas Howell is 49. Muse drummer Dominic Howard is 38. Actress Jennifer Carpenter, 36. Dodgers outfielder Yasiel Puig is 25. And singer Tom Waits is 66 years old. I'm Allie McKay, in for Ralph Garman.
walking the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Jonathan Medina from La Puente. He was listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at exactly the right time. He just won tickets for both nights of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2015 at the Forum this weekend. Two shows Saturday and Sunday. And I believe these are floor tickets, too, by the way. So we got those for you all week long. Go to KRock.com for all the details. Who's ready for a brand-new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup?
Me.
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 Wake up, and watch the Internet Roundup.
Yeah. Can't believe another year of the Internet Roundup is almost behind us, Dave, but this is a pretty good batch this week.
Yeah.
And, of course, especially with Christmas, there's a lot of Christmas stuff, a lot of Star Wars stuff. You can go to kevinandbean.com or krock.com to see all these videos and so much more. We don't have time to bring you all of them. There's a couple of Yule Log videos. Now, some of our listeners may not know what a Yule Log is, but it's not what you're thinking. It's really just a fireplace is all it is, and some people find them very relaxing. In fact, lots of TV stations around the country around the holidays will just program soft Christmas music and a view of a fireplace with a fire going on.
I don't understand this at all.
And the ratings are huge for the Yule Log.
Why would you watch that?
Because they play Christmas music, and it's just like atmosphere.
Like
a lot of people don't have fireplaces, so here you get to see it.
It feels Christmassy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And this first video, I think, is brilliant because Nick Offerman, the actor from, you know, everything from Parks and Recreation to Fargo, he's a great, great actor, and he's the manliest man in the world. And it's just him sitting in his living room drinking whiskey by a fire.
This I would watch for 45 minutes.
He doesn't say a word. It's just him sitting there drinking a whiskey and listening to this.
Did you say 4 or 5 minutes?
45. Three quarters of an hour.
45 minutes.
Come on. Your family thinks you're cool if Nick Offerman's looking at you.
That's pretty cool, right? But doesn't that just sound so – it puts you in the holiday spirit when you hear that. Now, unfortunately for most people, this next video is another Yule Log, and this is a more realistic experience. This is the Yule Log if you're looking for a holiday scene with a loud married couple fighting for the entire length of the video.
You mean roller candy canes since we started. Those go on the tree.
There's plenty of candy canes, and there's plenty of fun to be had.
Okay, great. I feel like we follow the plan. It's not going to be a problem.
Okay, well, then you follow the plan. I'm going
Don't
out.
Take that tone
I'm going
me.
Out. You know
Don't
what?
Take that tone
hey,
with me.
When I come back, I hope there's a beautiful tree that great. One person did by themselves.
Great. But guess who's going to put the star on the top? Me.
By the way, what you see is the log on fire. That
it's
whole
the log on fire, right, exactly. Yeah. Is that too close to home, Allie? Does it remind
you
too much of growing up in your household?
Know what? I will say this: my parents got in the biggest fight every single year putting the lights up, like clockwork.
Really?
They'd say, "We're going to go put up the lights," and my brother and I would go, "Oh, jeez,
let's clear out.
Here we go."
Everybody leave. Did somebody want to go way Christmas with it? The other person wanted to do as little as possible. Is that the fight?
Well, my dad is a lot like me, pretty type A. He has his way of doing it.
Right.
My mom just was sipping her wine, going along, maybe screwing things up. She's a delight.
I like it.
Yeah.
Of course, Star Wars will be here before you know it. And let's say you're one of the people in the world, and I guess these people exist, who have never seen a Star Wars movie, but you still plan on walking in to see The Force Awakens. How can you get caught up? Well, you watch this video that recaps all 6 previous Star Wars films in just 3 minutes.
You killed her.
She has lost the will to live. We need to operate quickly if we are to save the babies.
My wife and I will take the girl.
I will take the child and watch over him.
Have the protocol droids mind wipe.
Secret mission? What plans? What are you talking about?
You can call me Luke.
Help me, Obi-Wan Kenobi.
We saved you so much time right there. Here's one of my favorite videos on the Internet Roundup this week. What if Chewbacca was voiced by the Family Guy's Peter Griffin?
Chewie, is that you? Chewie!
May the Force be with you.
Dave, you are the adult that I know that loves the Minions the most out of all the adults that I know. Let's see what Honest Trailers had to say about that movie.
90 minutes of lazy gags that makes Cars 2 look like the beginning of Up. Featuring all these 1960s references that don't belong in a movie for little kids or their 30-something parents. But they will repeat the word banana over and over and over again. So Lisa's got that going for it.
Banana, 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 banana.
Look, I didn't see Despicable Me and I didn't see The Minions, and it doesn't sound the least bit annoying. Adam Sandler did the first Hanukkah song, I want to say, on Saturday Night Live. Does that sound right to you guys?
In 1939.
Early 90s, I think.
Yeah. 90s is what I meant. Yeah.
And every 3 or 4 years, he updates it with new celebrities that he wants to sing about that are Jewish. And now the Hanukkah song Part 4 is out.
Harry Potter and his magic Hanukkah. Celebrate Hanukkah. Jared from Subway. God damn it, a Jew! But guess who's Jewish and can fix him? Loveline's Dr. Drew! Get on it, Doc!
Dr. Drew was very excited to be named to that song, by
what?
The way. He was honored. Dave, what do we know about DJ Earworm, who does great work every year?
We know he's a DJ.
Okay.
Hey, thanks for that update.
I'm glad I went to you for the deep background. This is the time of year where he comes out with his, he calls it the yearly mashup, where he takes the 50, I want to say in this video, the 50 biggest songs of 2015 and puts them all together in 1 5-minute mashup, and it's incredible.
It's the music and the video as well. It's amazing. Yeah.
Incredible. We are all about saving you time here today. Billy on the Street is a great, great show. This is... what? Why are you laughing?
No, go ahead.
This is... what's his face? Billy...
Billy Eichner.
Billy Eichner, who goes around and just screams at people on the streets of
New York.
He's
the greatest man in the world.
And this one is called the Julianne Moore acting attack, where he is basically getting tourists on the street to give him a dollar, and then Julianne Moore will act out a scene from one of her movies. And in this case, she's doing a very emotional reading on Magnolia.
I have sickness all around me, and you f***ing ask me my life? What's wrong? Have you seen death in your bed, in your house? Where's your f***ing decency? Shame on you! Shame on you! Shame on both of you!
Academy Award.
No, she lost for that!
For a dollar, she'll act for you.
I don't have a dollar.
Do you have any money?
I don't.
F*** you.
The best, though, is the Asian tourist who doesn't speak a lot of English, and she just cries on cue, and he doesn't know what to do. And Billy's just like, hug her, comfort her! It's so good.
That's after pushing Cookie Monster away.
It's such a great series that he does. And finally, our friend Jimmy Kimmel Live, who just continues to do amazing things in late-night TV on ABC. This was great. In the middle of his monologue, all of a sudden he hears this other voice on stage, and it's Chris Hardwick, who's got his own little set on the side of the stage where he has announced that he is doing, you know how he does the Talking Dead after Walking Dead?
Right.
He's doing a show recapping what has happened in Jimmy Kimmel's show so far right during the monologue.
What's going on?
Jimmy, I'm doing my new show.
What show?
The Jimmy Kimmel Live Mid-Show Recap Show.
But I'm right in the middle of my monologue here.
Yeah, I know, it's great. That's what we're talking about. A lot of stuff to talk about. So tweet your thoughts, theories, and questions about tonight's monologue to @Kimmittle173.
Chris, can you maybe wait until after the show is finished, like you do with The Talking Dead? That's after the show.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know, but then the show's called Kimmittle. It's not called Kimafter.
It's so great. He has Guillermo on as a guest to talk about what Guillermo was thinking at the beginning of the show. It's very meta and very funny. You can see all these videos and so much more. Just go to KRock.com or KevinAndBean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Wake up, and watch the Internet Roundup.
Yeah. King of Mexico, to the studio, please. King of Mexico, to the studio. So earlier today, we come in, and I hear this jingle.
The King of Mexico is bullshit.
And I thought, well, that's weird. What's going on with the King of Mexico? And I guess, Kevin, you had been party to a conversation where some of his future plans were revealed to you?
Yeah, it was at the Friends and Helpers toy drive at the LA Kings practice facility. Mm-hmm. And let me just take 1 second to thank everybody that helped out with Friends and Helpers. It was crazy amazing, and we helped over 15,000 people this year.
Wow.
Whoa.
Having said that, and Luke Robitaille was there, and Coach Sutter was there.
Yeah.
Dave ruined the night because Dave told me about his plans, and that is to A, get a puppy,
which is awesome,
B, name it Rhonda Ruffy.
Aw, that's adorable.
And C, and he was most excited about C, having a puppy shower.
Yeah.
The king of Mexico is bullshit.
So you told me that this morning, and I'm racking my brain, and the conclusion I came to is puppy showers are not a thing.
They're not a thing, right? And they now, need to not be a thing, right?
Baby showers are a thing because new parents are oftentimes swamped with the number of things that you get to raise a baby. And it's very expensive. And people are excited that you're having a kid, and they want to help out and contribute to making that a little easier process for you. None of that is true when it comes to a puppy.
Correct.
A puppy is just a thing for you and your family. That's it. Look, everybody loves puppies. Puppies are great. You should never look at me to buy you a dog toy, ever.
I think that's your dog.
By the way, that's BS because a lot of the times during Christmas time, people buy each other's pets presents all the time.
Okay, they need to stop that as well.
No, they don't. And that's, you know, and that's the thing. So shut up.
So we tried to talk some sense into Dave, and of course, as usual, that's like talking to a brick wall. So then we thought, well, what about Krista? What about his girlfriend, who's the smart one, the reasonable one in the relationship? Maybe she's the answer. Maybe we got to talk to her and figure out a way we can stop this puppy shower. Because again, not a thing.
Not a thing.
Hey, Krista.
Good morning.
Krista, are you aware of this plan?
It was my idea.
Oh! Yeah!
And I fully support her.
Krista!
Now we need another jingle. Krista, please explain the thought process besides the fact that you and your boyfriend are hipster douchebags.
Wow, we turned on Krista.
We love Krista until 30 seconds ago. Not that I don't have an open mind about your process, but what are you doing?
I mean, I've gone to like 3 baby showers, and it's so annoying because no one does anything for us.
Okay, but let me just reiterate. One is a human, and parents need a lot of stuff to raise a human. A puppy, I mean, you basically need a bone and some food. You can get that.
Yeah.
You can get that.
And bed.
You need a bed, and you need sweaters, and you need...
Sweaters? You go right to hell.
Now, Krista, I asked Dave this, and now I'm thinking the answer is going to change. I said, well, are you going to have a registry? He's like, oh, no, that's crazy. But if you're going this far, you don't want 4 beds. You don't want 4 panda sweaters for your dog.
We do, because we could return the beds and buy her better food and better,
If you don't have money for a bed and food, don't get a dog.
I said better.
Krista.
No, this isn't the thing. We have the money. It's fine. But I don't want to keep going to baby showers and paying for some person's child.
But isn't that a different argument? Isn't that, okay, don't go to somebody's baby shower? It doesn't mean you have to throw a party for a dog that doesn't exist to punish them. You're punishing your friends.
I was going to invite your dog.
Nope. I'm going to RSVP right now. Nope.
Look, there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with this. Hey, Dave calls you up, Kevin, and says, Krista and I are taking the puppy out for a walk in Runyon Canyon. Why don't you come down with the dog and go with? That's a perfectly acceptable invitation. As you hang out together, a little fresh air, a little walk, a little exercise, your dogs get to play together. That's a fun time for everybody. That's a win-win. It's not, hey, Kevin, how much can I put you down for to have you come over to see my dog, which is what you're doing.
Nay. Listen, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to be like, yo, Kevin, yo, Kev dog, we're going to have some drinks, and so we're going to party at this, pet park. Bring a gift if you want, because I got a new puppy. So you might, help me out.
Can I RSVP for that one, too?
No.
No. No, I'm not going to do that because...
And we're going to have some drinks. It's going to be fun, man. Listen.
I love Dave. Uh-huh. Bean loves Dave. Everybody loves Dave. We're not going to come to a puppy party. It's not going to happen.
Because it's not a thing. I'm happy to meet your puppy. I'm happy to play with your puppy. I'm happy to see your puppy. I'm not going to pay to get your puppy vaccinated. That's your job.
All right. Can I read an email? It's from our friend Paulie. Says, Dave, you can refute the it's not a thing argument by saying everything was not a thing before it became a thing. You're an innovator, a trailblazer, a trendsetter. Woohoo, puppy showers. What's up?
All right, may I
offer... The king of Mexico is bullshit.
May I offer a rebuttal to that email?
Yes.
Murder.
All right, I just got a text from Gabriel Iglesias.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With a picture of his dog and says, wants to attend your puppy shower. Boom!
Oh, no.
Well, he's no longer welcome here.
Wow.
Miss Double December says, yeah, I will attend your puppy shower. Bring my dog.
But everybody
And these are all people who are awesome. Not like you guys, who are not awesome.
You understand everyone's mocking you, right?
No one's mocking me.
Because you know what?
Boom.
Gabriel Iglesias is not going to show up at the
Wanna
party.
Want to bet?
Yes,
all right,
my boy.
I have a question for Krista because we're almost out of time here. Krista, you said the reason you thought of this is because you were tired of how much time and money was going into baby showers of your friends. What happens if you have just unleashed the puppy shower on the world and now you find your whole calendar filling up with weekends filled with you having to go to other people's puppy showers?
Yes.
How will you feel about it then?
I won't go.
You wouldn't go to other people's puppy party.
Well, I would.
Maybe. It just depends. It depends on how many we get invited to. But I'd rather go to a puppy shower than another baby shower.
Oh, okay. So much you want to go to baby showers.
Look, you have issues with baby showers. Fine. Stop going to them.
What we're saying is that one puppy shower is a puppy shower too many. That's what we're saying, Krista.
No,
you're opening the floodgates. You're opening the floodgates of puppy showers, and then you're going to be invited to a bunch of them, and it's
and you know what?
Be
that's
your fault.
Fine, because then our dog's going to play with other dogs, and we get to go to the park and hang out. So what? It's a party, and I don't mind buying someone a doggy bone or toy
just
or something.
I that Puppy Lake is big enough for both of us.
The king of Mexico is bullshit.
You guys listening, we're so lucky that you're listening to 21 Pilots and not Bean talk about the reindeer cam. Oh, dear God in heaven.
First of all, the reindeer cam is awesome.
That's what I meant. No. Yes, that's what I meant.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, Allie's here in for Ralph Garman with our final look at the showbiz beat for a Monday morning Kevin and Bean show. What's going on? What's new? What's happening?
Remember when we talked about the previews for David Mamet's play China Doll with Al Pacino? Mm-hmm. They weren't going great. monitors had to be set up around the set with Pacino's lines so he could look over, glance over, and actually read the lines right from there.
That's a little sad.
It's a little sad. Mm-hmm. Well, it finally opened after a two-week delay, and the reviews are in. I just wanted to read this one.
Okay.
From the New York Times, which you kind of wait for the New York Times review, because that's kind of the big one.
That's the one? Okay.
Yeah. No matter what his salary is, it seems safe to say that Christopher Denham is the most underpaid actor on Broadway. He apparently is starring opposite Al Pacino. As for Al Pacino, his next quote is, "Now please cue the sound effects of chalk scratching on countless blackboards and the ping, ping, ping of an endlessly dripping faucet, and you have some idea of what Mr. Denham must be going through night after night after night."
Wow.
So he liked it.
He loved it. I believe he'll go again.
Is this been a trend? Because this comes out of nowhere for me. Is Al Pacino one of those guys that just has started forgetting everything?
I don't know. But, I mean, Broadway's a whole different beast. It's just not something you go in all willy-nilly.
But he's done it, and he's done it well.
He's done Broadway. Yeah. Yeah, I think it depends on the show, depends on the night. I think Al Pacino is probably one of those guys who, when he's when he turns it on, can be the greatest actor alive. And when he doesn't, can suffer, can sleepwalk. Look, Christopher Walken's the same way. We were just talking about Peter Pan, how awful he was in Peter Pan. He's still a great actor, not the right role for him.
Really?
Maybe this dialogue is just too complicated or something, or this it's too thick, too dense. I don't know what the problem is. Obviously, I haven't seen the show. Doesn't sound like I'm going to get a chance to.
I don't think it's going
to
last.
Doesn't sound like you're going to want to either.
No. Yeah, true.
And if you guys missed it, February 15th at Staples Center will be the Grammy Awards, and the nominations are now out. Kendrick Lamar leads the way with 11 nominations, followed by Taylor Swift and The Weeknd, both with 7. Let's just go through a few of the categories. Album of the Year, Alabama Shake, Sound and Color, Kendrick Lamar, To Pimp a Butterfly, Chris Stapleton, Traveler, and Taylor Swift, 1989, The Weeknd, Beauty Behind the Madness.
I'm going Kendrick Lamar on that one.
You are?
Yep.
Bean?
I'd be fine with that. I'd be fine with Taylor winning as well. You haven't even heard the record.
Nope.
It's a great album.
Nope.
And she's a terrific artist. But, who knows? It's getting so difficult to predict the Grammys. You know, I think they have youngened it up a little bit in recent years. They're not quite as out of touch as they were. I mean, the fact that Kendrick Lamar even got nominated for Album of the Year is impressive. I think it'd be great to see him win.
Well, he is also up for Song of the Year with All Right. Blank Space by Taylor Swift.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor Swift.
Good old Taylor.
Little Big Town Girl Crush. Wiz Khalifa featuring Charlie Puth, See You Again. And Ed Sheeran, Thinking Out Loud.
All right.
Mm. Record of the Year. D'Angelo and the Vanguard, Really Love. Mark Ronson featuring Bruno Mars, Uptown Funk. Ed Sheeran, Thinking Out Loud. Taylor Swift, Blank Space. And The Weeknd, Can't Feel My Face. You think it's Uptown Funk?
I do. I think that's going to win. I mean, it's the biggest hit of the whole year.
Is
it
that how they
everywhere.
Decide, though, Bean? Because sometimes it seems like that works against that song.
I feel
it's
like not. Can't Feel My Face was
that
everywhere.
That was huge as well. Yeah.
All right. Best new artist, Courtney Barnett, apparently an Australian singer-songwriter that Bean knows, James Bay, Sam Hunt, Tori Kelly, and Meghan Trainor.
What happened to Amy Winehouse?
She passed away.
What?
Rodney. Yeah. I'm sorry I had to break that to him.
Was this in the news?
Yeah, it was for quite a while. Absolutely.
Oh, my God. Really?
I know. It seems like I tell you this a lot.
Oh.
I know. It's weird. All right. Moving on. Best rock performance. Alabama Shakes, Florence and the Machine, Foo Fighters, L King, and Wolf Alice. Best alternative music album. Alabama Shakes, Bjork.
Nope.
What?
Nope.
What?
Nope.
My Morning Jacket, Tame Impala, and Wilco.
How does Bjork get nominated? And I'm not just hating to hate.
I don't know.
It's not anywhere near mass appeal.
I don't know. Look.
I don't understand that.
Bjork, every album that comes out is weirder than the album before. And I think it's become diminishing returns at this point. I think the amount of people who get whatever it is she's trying to do gets smaller and smaller and smaller. But for whatever reason, the
How
people
does
who
she
nominate
get nominated?
For the Grammy. Yeah, for whatever reason, they love her. I mean, she definitely, you know, was a groundbreaking artist and a fresh sound 20 years ago. But for whatever reason, they have hung on to her, even as I think her work hasn't kept up.
Hmm. Well, two Acoustic Christmas performers are up for Best Rock Song. Oh.
Enjoy a little Bjork while we were just talking about her.
So weren't sure what happened, and to look at Chip and to look at Kevin, both throw their hands up like it's not me.
I thought our station was on fire. I don't know what's happening. Fingers,
we make million holes. Mm-hmm. We run and we fall into potholes.
Sure.
On a mission to save the world. Oh. Peek at the sky through tree holes. Comment.
I mean, honestly.
That's real. Yep.
They got, what?
Yeah.
Oh, you.
It was a pretty cool song.
No, it wasn't.
I mean,
I hope she has picked.
No.
Tempo positive song.
Right. Didn't seem up tempo.
I hope she has picked out her swan dress to wear for the Grammys on February the 15th.
That's insanity.
Best rock song, L King, X's and O's.
Define rock.
I can't. Because James Bay, Hold Back the River, not so rocky to me either.
No, not at all.
Alabama
Look, we're
Shakes.
We're not saying they're bad enough.
No,
we're
they're great
saying,
songs.
That's rock?
Yeah.
That's odd.
Alabama Shakes, Don't Want to Fight, Highly Suspect Lydia, and Florence and the Machine, What Kind of Man? All right.
Florence.
All right.
Yeah, so much. You can get the full list by just Googling Grammys. Go ahead.
Don't
there's
be lazy.
There's so many different.
You okay?
Yeah.
That
I'm
Bjork
good.
Thing just took it out of
it
me.
Took me it took me to a place I didn't want to go to.
She's a bitch.
Might be. All of these stars born today, December the 7th. Singer Tom Waits is 66.
You're the head on the spear. You're the nail on the cross. You're the fly in my beer. You're the key that got lost.
That really is Tom Waits.
And you're driving everyone away today.
I hope that somebody that has never heard Tom Waits doesn't hear that and go, oh, that's horrible, because he's amazing.
Yeah, I missed the whole he's amazing part.
Oof.
So I might need to go back and do some research, which I'm never going to do. Back to you.
Thanks, Kevin. Muse drummer Dominic Howard is 38. Singer Sarah Bareilles is 36. Actress Jennifer Carpenter is 36 as well. And Dodgers outfielder Yasiel Puig is 25. I'm Allie McKay, and for Ralph Garman, walking the show with Beat.
Thank you, Allie. Tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show, comedian Reese Darby joins us in studio. We have Halsey. Is going to join us in studio. How about
Fantastic.
That?
Fantastic.
Huge.
We have Henry Rollins.
Oh,
wow.
On the program, we're going to pick the our five favorite Christmas songs. And this generally goes very poorly.
Yeah.
Because we disagree a lot on Christmas music. But we're going to try and come up with a Kevin and Bean top five. And we'll just see how it goes. Last year, I think we came up with four.
Mm-hmm. That's the best we could do.
We have Victoria's Secret model Lily Eldridge on the program. And the top 10 moments whip. So that's a pretty big show tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.